is on. The three best friends you never knew you had, running through the most viral stories of the day. The news junkie Sean Wasson with Sabrina and C-Lane.
It's the news junkie for a Wednesday, January 10th, 2018. Lots to get to today, from James Franco's awkward interview to Pamela Anderson's ridiculous pro-taxi PSA and the move to make eating meat illegal, plus your calls, dispatches, emails, texts, and more. Hey there, Sabrina.
Happy hump day.
Hello there, C-Lane.
Good morning.
Lots to get into, as per usual. We have a bit of a revolt underway right now.
What's happening now?
It's been happening since yesterday, and the tweets roll in, and the emails roll in. And everybody's saying, what's happening with the podcast? It takes me like 3 days to download a show right now, and the blame is lumped on C-Lane.
Oh.
And I don't think it has anything to do with him. I don't know what the hell's happening with the podcast, but it seems to work. It's just taking really long when people download it right now.
Why is technology so difficult?
Oh, it's difficult to us. I don't know why. It's every single time we have to change a podcast thing, as some chaos occurs. Only thing I can tell you.
It was fine the way it was.
It was. You know how, don't get me started on that, please.
And if it ain't broke, fix it till it is.
That's what we like to do around here at iHeart. We continue to fix non-broken things until they break properly. But if it's taking forever to download the podcast, I've sent multiple emails. There's people looking into it, and it should be resolved soon. You could always find a backup at thenewsjunkie.com/podcast. So go there. You want to find some other ways, and iHeart usually tends to work for me, so just keep all that in mind. All right, there, good, thank you. That's what's happening in the world of podcasts, so hold back your emails and your tweets and all that other stuff for just a bit if you can. I just saw when I was walking in, there's a TMZ report, some guy was in a bar, well, like a restaurant, I guess, and he looked over, and there's Harvey Weinstein, who is probably not the person you want to be on planet Earth right now.
Yeah, or you don't want to be a potted plant near him.
No, that's bad too. But Harvey Weinstein's sitting there having some dinner with his sober coach. And this guy comes over and says, I think the first thing he said was like, big fatty or work. Can I get a picture with you? And then Harvey Weinstein says, you know, look, no, I'm not going to do this right now. It's not the right time. And sends him away. God only knows what that conversation really went like. But this guy proceeds to get hammered. And he drinks and he drinks and he tells his friend, he does a hold my beer moment with his friend. And he goes, hey, record this. It's going to be interesting. And he walks over to Harvey Weinstein at this restaurant and goes, this is for what you did to those women, and starts punching him.
No way.
He's swinging on him. I guess he punched him twice, but missed, I think, from what they're saying. But just went up to this guy, or this guy went up to Harvey Weinstein, at least, in the restaurant, and back and forth stuff going on with that right now. You might think, hey, look at me, hero to the rescue. Here I am. That's going to get you some charges, probably. But I'm hearing that Weinstein not pressing any charges there.
Do you think he was hoping that they would take the picture and, like, write it one, two, three pictures of him punching Weinstein?
He had his friend do a video as he went over there.
Slow motion.
It just really get the fat moving around the face and going back and forth.
Yeah, the old ripple effect.
Nobody cares that this is some sort of retribution on your part. If he would have pressed charges, this guy would have gone to jail. And the fallout from that stuff, I can't believe I'm still saying this, but rolls on. And I had said something about this before. I said, James Franco is going to get caught up in this. Because I remember multiple stories, published and otherwise, about James Franco on Instagram and on other social media accounts, kind of going around and talking to some underage girls. He got busted talking to some teenager on Instagram.
Yeah, and it was right before the release of a movie in which he plays like a dude that's hitting on or having a relationship with a younger person.
Really?
I'm pretty sure that's how it went. Let me do some research.
I don't remember the movie, but it could possibly be the case. It was a couple, maybe a year or two ago now. And then after the Golden Globes, multiple people who had worked with him on Twitter were really upset. So he goes on Stephen Colbert's show last night. And of course, they got to bring this up. And it's just awkward. It was just really awkward the way they went through this whole thing. Here it is if you missed it.
There were some things on Twitter
today.
Yeah, I didn't. I haven't read them. I've heard about them. Okay, first of all, I have no idea what I did to Ali Sheedy. I directed her in a...
Does anybody believe that? I have no idea. I did not read these. I did not look at them. You looked at them.
How did you... I mean, how could you not look at it?
When there was a backlash against you and somebody's making allegations, you looked at the tweets at the very least.
Off Broadway, I had nothing but a great time with her. Total respect for her. I had no idea why she was upset. She took the tweet down. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I can't speak for her. I don't know. The others, look, in my life, I pride myself on taking responsibility for things that I've done. I have to do that to maintain my well-being. I do it whenever I know that there's something wrong or needs to be changed. I make it a point to do it. The things that I heard that were on Twitter are not accurate. But I completely support people coming out and being able to have a voice because I didn't have a voice for so long. So I don't want to...
Really back and forth there.
You know, shut them down in any way. It's I think, a good thing, and I support it.
Why? Well, why?
If that's like a really weird runaround.
Look, if somebody's coming out on Twitter and making terrible allegations about you and they're not true, you shouldn't go, I still support that. You should go, these people are lying.
Okay, but obviously he's going around that they are true.
He's trying to have both sides of the equation. He's trying to say, look, I support these ladies and their ability to make all of the allegations they want. But also, these ladies are totally lying about me. I don't know where these stories are coming from.
He didn't say lying, though. He said that he doesn't remember.
He said those are not true. He said that those weren't the exact words he used, but something about not factual, not accurate, were his reference to the tweets in question.
Is he saying not accurate because maybe something did happen, but in his recollection of the situation, everything was hunky-dory and consensual and not in an abusive manner? Or
here's his exact quote. He said, the others in my life, I pride myself on taking a responsibility for what I've done. The things I heard are not accurate, but I completely support people coming out because they didn't have a voice for so long. I don't want to shut them down in any way. I think it's a good thing, and I support it. Well, wait, what?
So... Well, yeah.
It's the runaround. I mean, they're not accurate. Those are words that you use when you're not when you're caught. Like that's exactly what he's putting out there. What did you just read? What did we just listen to? It was a runaround.
He said it's not accurate, but the last line is what gets me. I think it's a good thing, and I support it. Well, if they truly were not accurate, why would any human being ever say, I think it's a great thing, and I support it?
Well, he can support the other women that are coming out, but he put it in such a way that he doesn't really sound very credible. The tweets from Ali Sheedy.
Now, who is she? Because I didn't know much about her until yesterday. She was on some project with him.
I'm not sure what she did with James Franco, but she was in Bad Boys. I think she was like the love interest. Remember Bad Boys?
Yeah, the Martin Lawrence thing?
Yeah, and when Will Smith, she was in War Games. Love that movie. St. Elmo's Fire, The Breakfast Club. She was
she's been a lot of stuff.
She's a Brat Packer, I think.
Yeah.
And, the tweets said stuff like, why is a man hosting, which I think that's a little bit of a stretch, why is James Franco allowed in, said too much, night love you, hashtag Golden Globes, then, okay, wait, bye, Christian Slater and James Franco at a table on at Golden Globes, hashtag me too. Which is...
Is that a Christian Slater allegation, too? Did she ever make any actual allegations?
I don't know, because the hashtag Me Too, I feel, is used in places where it's inappropriate.
Like what?
Like a woman on the red carpet showing off what gown she's wearing.
No, she was wearing black in solidarity with the Me Too movement and with Time's Up.
It's just a hashtag to connect all the stories more than anything. I wouldn't read too much more. I don't think every single time it's mentioned, it's supposed to be like, this is an allegation against somebody.
But it comes off as, oh, Christian Slater and James Franco are scumbags.
It does. It's like she's hinting at something but not saying it. But what I found so weird is that he's saying, I didn't do this, but yes, I support this. And if he gets more pressure, because he's already getting some, they canceled some New York Times conversation with him that was supposed to go on based on his appearance in this new movie. I still haven't seen this. It's supposed to be really good, but I still haven't seen this movie that he's in, that he's making the rounds for. So other stuff being canceled, and that whole thing continues. When we come back, I am in the middle of a war, ladies and gentlemen. There is a war that you might find inconsequential, but it's ravaging all of our lives. And I think it's time we fight back against this. So I'll let you know the latest that has happened to me. And if we could do something to stop this from happening to you and everybody else when we return, plus your dispatches. It's the News Junkie on Real Radio.
Filling in the gaps between the New York Times and World Star. This is the News Junkie.
Help me! Somebody help me! We need performance-enhancing drugs for our studio equipment, I think. I mean, what's happening around here? Look at the state of affairs that this is how I have to look at a computer monitor.
Oh, you have one stand.
It's like looking. It's like a diamond shape now because this thing limps and falls over and twists to the side. Everything this morning is all disheveled and all over the place. If we have one thing wrong around here, it's distracting. Here's this. Here, I need engineers or something. Or somebody with a screwdriver.
Attention, help us. Yeah, I mean, we can just get some duct tape or something.
I don't even know. Look at this, Sabrina. I don't know if duct tape will help. Look, here we go. That's how it's supposed to be.
Did
there
Russ
we go.
Punch it or something?
I don't know if somebody got angry in here or what happened, but it's a very limp monitor today. So we'll have to see if we can get somebody to help us repair that to get through the show at some point in time. I have another war going on, though. And I don't know if you guys, Sabrina and C-Land, are going to be with me on this war, or if I'm all alone on the battlefield, but I still have to wage this particular war. Now, you guys, you don't live right on the main streets of downtown, but you live in downtown.
Right.
Do people go to your houses and put up flyers for all this stuff, like put them in your door or put them on your car?
Yeah, all the time.
Yeah, in my door, yeah.
Where do you get them, Sabrina? On the front door of the house or underneath the windshield wiper?
No, I get the front of the house, usually on the doorknob or like under the door, through the mail slot if they're feeling risque.
What are the rules about that? Is that illegal for these people to do?
No, I don't think so.
Some of it must be. Like, if you had no soliciting up, then somebody does it? Is that illegal? These are the things that I'm wondering right now.
Is it soliciting if it's just a piece of paper? I would understand if it's like knocking on your door, hey, can I talk to you about my vacuum?
Yeah, but you can't just... All right, let's put it this way. You've been downtown before, and you've been walking down the sidewalks, and you know when there's some club gig going on, and someone has literally just made it rain with these flyers everywhere. You're stepping on them. You're walking over them. They are trash and rubbish all over the place. And somebody who is probably a paid promoter has just thrown these things everywhere. There's nothing illegal about what they're doing. I think the people who are the target of the promotion should have to go out and clean that stuff up. I don't know why that's not a thing. Your club ends up with all these flyers all over the street. We're just completely scattered everywhere on the ground, so somebody else has to pick them up. You should be required to either pay the bill to clean that up or come do it yourself.
What's the bill? But there's trash everywhere, Sean.
Yeah, there's trash everywhere, but so you have no problem with if somebody just takes 10,000 flyers and throws them all over the ground all over downtown?
I didn't say I had a no problem with. Of course, that's very annoying, and I don't want people littering. But
somebody has to pick that up.
Right, and there's jobs for that, too. I don't think that would be very fair to single out the promoters when there's a bunch of people throwing trash all the time. We do the same for those passing out Jesus Loves You flyers or doing sign-ups for medical marijuana.
Two totally different things, though, and maybe I'm not explaining this correctly. I'm talking about the people who just litter the city with these things, not that hand them out individually to people who then throw them down on the ground. And this has been happening in my building. Like in a high-rise apartment building, this is happening. And
how are they getting up there?
I don't know. I don't know. I'm sending emails. You know how I am. I'm yelling at management once again. I'm saying, what's happening? I get in the elevator yesterday. And how's this for tricky? First things first, there's a huge sticker. And it's probably about a half a foot long. Well, longer than that. It's about a foot long sticker. And it's stuck onto the elevator, so it's difficult to get off. And it says in giant letters, Asian massage, and then the phone number to this place.
All right.
Nice. And
that looks nice and classy when somebody goes into this building where I pay to live, and they see, oh, wow, they're offering Asian massage in here somewhere.
What are you saying about Asian massage?
I'm saying that some of these places have a connotation of giving HJs instead of just a massage. And then when you see that in somebody's elevator, you're probably going to look down on it a little bit. And so this place, they obviously hired these people to take these stickers, and they were all over the place, and they had just put these down in the left. And so I looked closely at it, and well, we should call this place. I wonder if they probably wouldn't get on the phone. On the bottom of the sticker, which says Asian massage, and then it has the phone number to the place and the address as well, it says, this is a free marketing company not affiliated with this business and advertising without consent. Now, tell me how that makes any sense whatsoever. You're going to have a company that's unknowingly advertising for another company, and they're just putting these things up all over the place? Obviously, they paid for it. So that company shouldn't have to come pick these things up and throw them away? I think that should absolutely be the case.
It's pizza guys that do it a lot. And that's what, like, hotels deal with them coming in and, like, sliding their flyers under the doors all the time. I don't know where the legality stands. You could say, especially, like, for the hotels and the pizza guy, like, hey, you're not welcome on premises, so if you're caught here, it'll be a trespassing.
I would think that that would be the case anyways. I would think that they would say, look, you're not allowed to do this and go around. And especially with the stickers, it's creating work for somebody else. It's like the jackass who throws a bunch of trash down on the floor because somebody else is going to pick that up eventually. And I don't know. We got to talk to somebody about this because they continue to do this stuff, and it happens to a lot of people. And I know it's annoying. And the idea that you say, this is a free marketing company, not affiliated with this business, and advertising without consent is ridiculous. That doesn't make sense in any universe anywhere. It's obviously an advertising campaign. It's just an annoying one. Let's talk to Davis. You're on Real Radio. Hello, Davis.
Hey, how you doing, News Junkies?
Good. Go ahead.
I just wanted to bring up a fact. I was at the Altamont Mall here and about a couple weeks ago, and that happened to me. My kids were playing at the playground.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, some guy just goes, hey, and throws them over the balcony, and they all, like, start floating over the kids.
He's just throwing flyers down on a crowd of kids?
Yep, and the guy just took off.
What was it for? Do you know? Did you see?
It was, believe it or not, it was for a chiropractor.
The stuff that has been happening quite a bit. Thank you, Davis. I don't know why that chiropractor, who clearly hired these people, doesn't have to go clean that up. They just go, all right, you've made this mess, you've made this mistake, so be it. This is where it's at right now. That makes zero sense to me, but it continues to happen. Here's QB with the dispatch.
Of course James Franco is going to give us the runaround, all right? Because, listen, it's a surefire way to speed things up, but in reality, all it does is slow him down.
Damn you, sir. I knew what you were doing when you were doing it. Here's TJ.
Hey, good morning, guys. Sorry to hear about your technical difficulties with the podcast, but it does bring one thing to mind. Anytime something goes wrong, what do?
Blame C-Lane.
Blame it on C-Lane. He's lame.
Yeah, I want to. I would really like to just blame C-Lane for this, but I...
Oh, I'm sorry you can't blame me.
Blame it on C-Lane. His fault. He's lame.
Normally, blame it on the podcast issue is that it's not up in time. And when that happens, that is C-Lane's fault.
Right.
But this is not your fault. It's a totally separate thing. I don't know what's happening with it. Yes. Let's go over here to B-Dobbs chilling.
What's up, everyone? Man, iHeartRadio is killing me with these text-in keywords. Between them and then all the phone solicitor scams. I'm so torn. is I text these keywords in. You got to answer some random number that you don't know whose number it is.
Yeah.
And yet I'm still getting all these calls with 407 and then the first three numbers of my number.
Here's the thing.
Which I know it's going to be the scam call, but you can't risk maybe not winning $1,000.
Yeah, that's a tough thing to juggle.
That's why
Happy Hump Day.
The scammer people need you to pick up the phone. So they call up iHeartRadio and they kick in some cash and they go, "Hello, this is Peter. We need you to alter ego." And so this way, when they call you, you think you're about to win tickets, but no, Scam City.
Just sacrifice the annoyances of answering all the calls for the 1 hour after you participate, and it'll be worth it if it's a $1,000 call for sure. Here's ex-soldier.
Morning, News Junkie. Just wanted to bring up, I was listening to the podcast for Monday, and I wanted to say something about the whole copyright infringement stuff that y'all were talking about with Creep, and you also brought up Pharrell Williams and Robin Thicke, that I do believe he, I don't know if I heard from you guys or somebody else, but I was following some of that during the time that he was in court, and I do believe he also openly admitted that he was high on cocaine when he wrote the song, so
I think
he really 100% knew where he got the inspiration from. Just figured I'd bring up that little tidbit of information. I thought that was kind of
which one, Robin Thicke or
Robin Thicke did? That was a tough part in Robin Thicke's life. He was going through some real stuff, and then the divorce happened, and then the stealing the song, and then he's talking about just the other day we played a Lana Del Rey song that is a direct and total ripoff of Radiohead's "Creep." It's not even close. It's just obvious on that one. That's why they want 100% of all the money coming from it. Out of Pasadena, California, U.S. television network NBC, broadcaster of this year's Super Bowl, say that they are going to show any players who kneel during the pregame national anthem on television when the Super Bowl broadcast comes around.
Why would they not?
The anthem is typically shown live before the Super Bowl. This year, it will be performed by Pink at the championship on February 4th. And somebody had asked, hey, if some of the players kneel, are you going to ignore this? Are you going to stay away from it? They say when you're covering a live event, you're covering what's happening. If there are players who choose to kneel, they will be shown live. Announcers likely will identify the players, explain the reasons behind the actions, and then get on with the game. So who knows? That could be a big part of the kickoff of the Super Bowl that is coming up in just a little under a month. As of right now, we're wondering if we got away from that. Maybe not so much. When we come back, a new reality television show that takes seven people undercover in the most bizarre of places. Would you do this? We'll figure it out next. It's the News Junkie on Real Radio.
It's almost like you're in the studio with us. Almost.
I'm going to tell them that you spilled hot sauce into the mixing board.
Facebook.com/RealRadio1041. Brought to you by Seacoast Bank. See why local is better by visiting SeacoastBank.com. Better by all accounts. Skirting the statute of limitations under a thinly veiled Mexican pseudonym. This is the News Junkie.
C-Lane fixed my monitor. Thank you, C-Lane.
You're welcome.
That was a problem. It's all fixed, all ready to go. He beat the engineers who were headed in here to fix things. Now, if you could just go to my apartment building and put a stop to all the solicitation and the Asian massage stickers that I was talking about, that stuff, really just round out my day. So let me know how that works out as we get into this story about a brand new TV show called Undercover High. And this is so weird in so many ways. There's a show out right now. I still haven't seen it, but I'm just aware of it. We may even have discussed it here on the show. It's where these people go undercover in prison, and they pretend to be prisoners for this reality show. I think it's called 90 Days In or 30 Days In or something Days In. And they go behind bars. They get to know all the prisoners, they interact with them, blah, blah, blah. This is like that at high school. And they take seven people who are in their 20s, and those seven people pretend to be high school students.
Well, like Never Been Kissed?
Just like a bunch of those movie plots, like 21 Jump Street, Never Been Kissed. And it's at the school in Topeka, Kansas. And when they go in there, they just mix in with all the other students, but there's cameras everywhere. So the students know the cameras are there, but they allegedly don't know that these 20-somethings that are pretending to be students are on their campus. The principal knows, the teachers know that they're there, but don't know who's who, and officials know what's going on. But they say that nobody knows who the students are. I find that damn near impossible to believe. Could you imagine you're in high school? All right, you're in 11th grade, and you're going into 12th grade, and you start your year, and you look around and you go, hey, who are all these new kids who look a lot older than the rest of us? There's no way that most of the kids that were going to this high school didn't know exactly who was in their classes that wasn't a teenager anymore.
It's certainly possible. However, you would think, just for the sake of the show and allowing it to continue past the pilot episode, they would choose people that look young. Plus, we've definitely talked in the past about stories where, like, there was, like, a older, like, late 20-something who was able to go to high school for, like, an entire semester before he was caught as a 20-something.
Yeah, creepy ones, too. And I think there may have been a story where somebody even did that in a middle school. But, yeah, they can do that. They can pull that off. But this is seven of them. And it just seems like it would start to be obvious. They say the docuseries, which premiered Tuesday night in the U.S., follows seven 20-somethings for different backgrounds who spent a semester posing as students in a high school in Highland Park. Unlike their fictional counterparts, the students here aren't police officers looking to bust a drug ring or journalists looking for a scoop. Their purpose is to drive the conversation, but also create something that was entertaining. I don't know what that means. What are these people doing in the classroom? I have the trailer for this. Maybe this will reveal something to us for this new show, Undercover High, that has seven people pretending to be high school students.
Cops, drugs, fights.
I don't think adults really get how hard it is to be a teenager right now.
We wanted to know, just how do we make schools better?
Pants. To make this work, you have to be all in. Change your lifestyle to be an 18-year-old again.
Walking towards school, my hands started shaking and I started sweating.
Parents have no idea what's going on in high school, but now they will.
You guys think you could pull this off? If they say you're going to be one of these students?
Yeah.
I think I could, too. I think I might stand out a little bit.
You might stand out, but I think I could do it.
They're like, Miss Johnson's 12th grade class, and here's one of the students, Sean Wasson. I think there would be instant sore thumb. They go, that guy looks more like somebody's dad.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, because that is the real life situation of what's happening. But they're undercover. They're supposed to do this for a whole semester. They say one of them is a youth minister and girls basketball coach. On the show, he professes his desire to help students with any issues they're struggling with. Another undercover adult cops to being a self-professed ass her first time in high school. She's now working on her master's degree and hoping to become a school superintendent. The participants tried to look like convincing high school students. The men shaved to look younger, while one woman, a 25-year-old named Erin, was even fitted with braces just to do the series.
It honestly
doesn't look obvious.
No, there's a couple of them that if I saw them out in public, I would think that they were high school students too.
So it's not like Undercover Boss, when the boss comes in with the worst wig you've ever seen and it is obvious as hell that there's something going on here, that they're filming this show.
Dude that got braces, way to commit, because that had to be annoying.
Yeah,
or Erin. Maybe it worked out because the TV show covered his dental care.
They said that these seven people will be in there for a semester each, and they're acting as if the students know. I feel like the students have got to know what's happening there. That could get creepy, though. You just have them hanging out with all these kids, and God only knows what happened.
They can't be they're going to be.
Next thing you know, they're buying beer. They're having a house party.
Oh, they can't do that because they're on camera all the time.
Hey, they do illegal stuff on some of the other shows.
That's true. A&E was Intervention City.
I'm watching people drive while on heroin on that show. This one, though, they probably, hopefully, have it in line a bit more. Let's go back to the dispatches. Here's Bro Villa with a dispatch.
Hey, Junkies.
Hey.
Yeah, bro, you need to get over to 420 East. That's a really nice building. Guard downstairs.
Got a big fish tank, man.
Exceptional lobby. Art Deco, actually. I think Muffin Lady would love it. And it's got great views, and you're right next to Publix and everything.
Muffin Lady would like the area. Yeah,
a whole lot of traffic back there, you know, and most of the people that are there live there. And stuff.
I have a big fish tank, sir. It's just the move of that would be unbelievable. I just want the Asian massage stickers down. That would be it. If I could just make that happen and that go away, things would be better. I just think people who throw these damn flyers everywhere and put up this kind of stuff and then pretend like they're not advertising for their company and make somebody else clean up their mess, that's a pain in the ass and they should have to pick them up. Here's Blueberry Pitbull.
Hey, News Junkies. Good morning. Hey, listen, I would give my left testicle if I could get the random driveway newspaper guy just to hit a giant oak tree at 100 miles an hour. No matter what I do, no matter how many times I call the Sentinel Express, they still just will not stop leaving. And the worst part is I live on a corner and I have two driveways. So I get four sets of trash. It's organized litter. That's all it is. Organized litter. So anybody knows any way to stop it, just let me know.
I don't know if you can. We'll have to figure that out. I don't know if there's any way to do that. I understand a little bit the paper tossing people because my dad did that for a couple of weeks. I think it was at a point where my dad got laid off for a little while. And money was real tight. And so at the time, we went over to the Palm Beach Post, and you could get this job, and they would fill up your vehicle with Palm Beach Post papers, or we did the Yellow Pages, too. And then they give you a route, and you drive around and do this, and you have to do it before school for a couple of months at least. I think we were doing this. And you throw the first three. Yeah, let's be real accurate here. I want this in a nice spot. You get a couple hundred in, you do not care where those things land. So that's kind of what's in their mind, I'm guessing. Here's Big Al.
Big Al from Castleberry. I have to agree with Sean about the littering and the flyers. It gets ridiculous. You go to a Walmart and you find a bunch of crap on your windshield. What even bothers me even worse is when it's election time. And after it's over, all the signs are left for
everywhere.
You know, for trash on the side of the road. Nobody comes to pick those up. Everybody should be held accountable for whatever they put out there or put up. Otherwise, I just think it's littering, and I just never liked it.
Yeah, I think you're supposed to. As a politician, after your campaign, you're supposed to go around and pick up all those signs. You're supposed to grab all the signs that you have access to.
I never heard that before.
And get those off the streets, because there was a guy who my dad was helping out with his campaign, and he had to put up, I think, 1,000 signs, and then afterwards, he lost. And that's the worst. Now you've lost and you're pulling your signs out of the grass and the median.
Can't even use them again because it has the year on it, probably.
No, you're screwed. You're completely done for. Here's P. Butkus with a dispatch.
Hey, Sean, you're talking about flyers on the ground in downtown Orlando and who's responsible to pick them up. Well, in Las Vegas, they have hooker calling cards scattered all over the sidewalk.
Everywhere,
too. Are the hookers supposed to pick those up?
No, the company. It's the company that is doing the promotions here. I'm still blown away that people actually use this and solicit the business.
I was finally just cleaning out a bunch of stuff in like a junk drawer, and I had all those flyers from our trip to Vegas a few years back.
Mm-hmm.
And
when I got done?
Yeah. I got a bunch of you. The guys are there like they do the little, they like flip the cards.
Yeah, see, they were sitting there. He's like, I got Terry, I got Jennifer, I got...
Terry actually, and Jennifer finally went in the trash.
Oh. I collected, I don't know, probably 100, 150 of those, so I could make like a Mod Podge coffee table with all of them. Yeah, the quality of the cards is actually pretty nice.
Are.
I mean, you probably won't get those girls once you order them, but I love that they put the effort in the cards, baseball trading cards.
Yes, it's almost, they're like that thick, nice quality. At least you could do something artistic with them. There is a couple of stories out this week talking about young people in this country and something that's a big sea change that's taking place. And when I looked at this, I said, man, it's changed a lot. And believe it or not, this is something I've been thinking about quite a bit, because all of a sudden, now it's 17, Dylan is getting super expensive. Super expensive. And I don't get to be with him all the time. You know, we talk on the phone a lot now, and he comes up. He's coming up, I think, either this weekend or next weekend, and he comes up and stays for a week whenever we can. But when he says, look, I'm doing this, I'm doing that, can I get some money? So he has one of these cards. It's called a Bluebird card. Mm. And then I have an app on my phone where I could send him money. And you start to go back through it, and, I mean, there's a lot of money going out there.
Does it? Is he allowed to withdraw the money?
Yes, and I don't like when he does that because then I don't know what the hell he's doing.
If he doesn't withdraw the money, if he just spends it on the card, is it like spendable like a debit card?
Yeah, I can see right now.
You can see what he spends
it on. I'll log in right now. I'll tell you what he's buying.
But when he's massage,
when he's pitching in for beer with his friends and he's just like withdrawing and then, you know.
I can't see it like on a granular level, but I mean, I can see what he spent and how much, just like you're looking at your debit card account.
Right.
So it's expensive, and it adds up. All right over there?
I'm good.
A little yawn talk?
A little boring.
He's down to nothing here. He's only got $3.21.
Oh, buddy.
That's because he has two purchases in a row from the Xbox store. He's getting something there. He goes to BurgerFi on the regular, according to this. 7-Eleven, Chick-fil-A. You know, he's hanging out with his friends, and he's doing stuff. Let's see. Just since the beginning of the year, how much money I've sent over. So that's only 10 days, so just a little over a week. 30, 55, 105, 115, $135. That's a lot of money for a week. And this whole theme of stories is about how allowance for younger kids is exploding right now. It's a great business to be in if you could just be a young kid and get allowance from your parents. Hmm. I don't remember getting all that much.
How much are people getting? How much are the kids getting?
They say this cannot be true. They start out at age 4. Why is a 4-year-old getting allowance to begin with? They say the average weekly allowance for a 4-year-old is $3.76. A 4-year-old can't spend money.
No, but, I mean, you can start teaching them about being responsible and doing chores. And therefore,
at 4?
Yeah.
You're not going to do a chore at 4 years old.
Why not?
They're just stumbling around, just learn how to use their bodies and stuff at 4 years old.
No, that's at 2. By 4, they're chatting, they're asking you why. And
they're not taking out the trash.
But you can teach them how to.
Well, they say the average for a 4-year-old, $3.76. 5 years old, into the $4. So it gets up to, now this is when I used to start getting allowance, like 13. The average 13-year-old right now is getting $10.79 a week. That doesn't seem that bad. That doesn't seem as significant as I thought it would be, actually. The 14-year-olds are getting $12.26. Oh, actually, I think that's what they're paying over last year. Because it says kids ages 4 to 14 received an average of $454 in allowance.
All right.
Over the course of 2017, though, that's a whole year. The average kid takes home $8.74 a week. The offering of allowance is an opportunity to teach children how to spend and save, blah, 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 blah. And that's another weird thing. Because of the thing I have going with Dylan, it's not really even teaching him a damn thing about budgeting because there's no actual money there. What I need to do, and I've been thinking about this, is just go, here's how much you get a week, and don't ask me for any over that. You get this much money? You budget it. You learn how to. You're 17 years old, for God's sake.
Time for a job.
Yeah, you got to figure this out. You got to get a job, but get your own money coming in. Get yourself some responsibilities.
When I was your age,
I'm not going to do that.
Though, I was busy making you.
That's true. And doing drugs.
Yeah.
But, you know, he could.
He's a good kid.
Not doing drugs. Mm. He is being very creative.
Just
when it comes to Christmas decorations.
Uh-huh.
And with that, he could use that creativity over at, like, Cold Stone Creamery. That's what I was doing at 15 years old. I stopped getting allowance at 14.
I didn't give him allowance. He didn't get allowance until recently. So maybe it's like making up for all the years where he didn't get that extra money to save up. But did you see C-Lane? He responded to... you posted out the tweet because we talked on the show.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We talked about what he did to his mother's Christmas decorations and how he got offensive with it. I'm going to have a conversation with him. And he said something like, thank you for appreciating my art.
Nice.
And sharing it. And then he tweeted me again and said, thanks for retweeting me, Dad. Can we play catch sometime?
Oh.
And I go, oh. Ooh. Cats in the Cradled Me.
Oh, my
little bastard,
gosh.
Cats in the Cradled Me. When we come back, a new cryptocurrency has entered the world, and this is a really interesting one. Plus, we'll see where Sabrina's at, since she mopped the floor with the rest of us in InvestQuest last year. I hear things are still going good over there, but we'll see when we come back. It's the News Junkie on Real Radio.
Your next chance to win $1,000 is just minutes away on Real Radio 104.1. We'd tell you to check out the app chat room, but those people are weird and mostly naked. This is the News Junkie. Take my pills, say I'm happy all the time. I'm happy all the time. I'm happy all the time. I love
my girl. Make sure you get the app. It's the best way to follow along with the show, to interact with the show, and to be part of things over here. All you have to do is search for The News Junkie in the app store of your choice. Whether it's Android or iOS or whatever it is, get moving there today in the chat room of the News Junkie app. You can jump in there after you set up your profile and confirm things. You got 4.08 million lines in chat right now. Everybody falling asleep today. Wake up. It's Wednesday. We move along. We continue with things. And Jesus, Scrotal Nectar, where do you even get these photos from that you use for your profile?
Bing.com.
I think he has like a whole gallery, probably gigabytes worth, on his phone of some of the most graphic, it's usually man on man, but sometimes even more bizarre things that he throws out there that gets a lot of clicks because he's got way more profile views than I do. 110,000 for him. And me, not so much. Hello to everybody in there. Smokey McPot, Snickers, Disgruntled Paladin, Whoa. Dick Gruntled Paladin, Red Dog, Eagle Beagle, all you who are hanging out, and those of you who are jumping in now as we talk about things. Cosidius 75, hi there, get things moving. Nos is jumping in, and you can too. Just make sure you download the app, search for The News Junkie in the App Store, pop on in to chat as you're sending in dispatches and doing many other things on the News Junkie app. When I was growing up, Kodak was such a major part of life. It was a big company, and it was synonymous for a while with picture taking. Mm-hmm. Kodak moment and all these other things that people would say. And then and Polaroid, too. And Kodak and Polaroid just died. They just died when digital cameras became a thing, and then the nail in the coffin was everybody having a phone with a better quality camera that you can buy inside of it.
Yeah.
It just killed them. And I know Polaroid has like tried to revamp and become hip again.
They've had a little bit of resurgence. Like, I would say that they've, like, the whole Polaroid thing, the hipsters love it.
Yeah. Yeah, it became, it's still kind of a interesting moment in the 80s, and they try to revive this, and they'll have, I've seen people at their weddings where they have little Polaroid cameras on the tables and this and that. And Kodak, mostly for the last bit of the 90s at least, all I knew of Kodak anymore was those damn disposable cameras. The ones you would get at like CVS, and you would take your pictures until it was winding and it wouldn't wind anymore. Then you bring it in to get them developed. All of that has gone by the wayside. But what is Kodak to do to stay in our lives? Well, they've found a solution. And starting, I don't know if it was today or just this week, they launched their own cryptocurrency.
Okay.
That seems like the most bizarre move ever, but Kodak Coin. Kodak Coin has been launched today, and guess what? The stock is up like 50% right now.
From what?
It's through the roof. I'm looking, hold on, let me look at it live here. It was $6 when it started, I believe, and now it's up to $10.92, I think. They said this thing just absolutely surged, and it continues to. At one point, it was as high as $12.75 because a camera company, or used to be camera company, is the latest to get in on all this cryptocurrency, Bitcoin-type stuff with Kodak coin in effort to help photographers get paid. So this is what they're doing. Kodak won't be using the popular Bitcoin for this venture, which was revealed at the CES show, which is going on right now. We'll talk about that in a second. Rather, it's employing Ethereum or Ethereum projects, Ether, as the currency. You have that.
Yes, I do.
Sabrina. The tech behind it is called blockchain, blah, blah, blah. We won't bore you with the cryptocurrency stuff. But Kodak now launched Kodak Coin, and the stock is absolutely positively surging.
Wait a second.
It's surging, but it's not like even in the top 10. So
what?
Of cryptocurrency.
No. Not Kodak Coin.
Oh.
The actual stock for Kodak itself.
Oh, okay.
The company still has a stock publicly traded on the stock market, which was just kind of dead in the water. And instead of looking at this and going, that's what you're doing? That's the future of your company? People are eating it up right now. I don't know if your Ethereum is spiking today.
Oh, it has. In the last couple of days, I mean, I haven't checked today, but yesterday I was doing pretty well.
Yeah, we got the...
Yeah, we good. We are good, my friends.
We got our asses kicked. If you missed this last year, we did a invest quest where we all put money into stocks or whatever we wanted to, Bitcoin, Litecoin, all these things. And Sabrina came out on top of that. C-Lane kind of gave up mid-year. I ended up losing all my money because I forgot about my stocks. So you're not doing well on the Litecoin one?
I'm doing great on both. It's just Litecoin is not, you know, as doing as well, but it's better than the $70 it was for an entire year.
How much did you have when you started that whole thing?
$180.
That's how much you put in there to begin with?
Between the two, and right now I am looking at... 1400.
Are you serious?
Yep.
That is way up, man.
I made $40.
Yeah, it's a little less than 1400 as I see it. But that was launched at CES, which is a big, big thing that's going on right now. The Consumer Electronics Show in Vegas. I'd love to go to this some year. And this is where the companies debut all their new stuff. I saw LG. You guys know LG, the TV company. Mm-hmm. They have this display in there, and it's a canyon of television screens. And they're about 12 feet high from the ground to, you know, 12 foot up. And you walk into it, and it looks like you're walking into a canyon. And there's, like, sounds and waterfalls and...
How beautiful.
Unbelievable. But looking in on what's going on at CES, and I think one of our dispatchers happens to be there right now. Fancy Nancy is doing photo dispatches from CES, I believe.
Oh, awesome.
All kinds of videos and holograms and, man, all kinds of stuff that they are showing off over there as this event rolls on. But I've seen some other things, and these other things really bring me in to where we're at in 2018. I think we're all out of good ideas. I think we're just flat out of good and interesting ideas because the stuff that they're launching is not necessarily that exciting. It's impressive, but do you actually want it? It's like robots that you can cuddle with. No, thank you. I don't want a Somnox robot, a bed companion that simulates human breathing.
Oh.
You hug the robot, the rising and falling sensation subconsciously calms you down and helps you get to sleep faster.
I would use that if it helped me get to sleep faster, for sure.
Are you having sleeping issues?
It's no problem going to sleep. It's just waking up 2 hours later and not going back to sleep.
Well, they said this can lull you into a sleep, and it does not snore. $600, though, for your little bed buddy robot. And then you're in bed with a robot, which is weird. Something called the Kohler Numi has been launched at CES, an internet-connected toilet, because that's what you've been thinking. I need my toilet to be connected to Alexa and Amazon. You can ask, this is where we're at, all right? We've got all the intellect. We've got all the technology and the computing power. Now this toilet, if you'd like to pay $5,625 for your toilet, I don't know how much a regular run-of-the-mill toilet is, but...
Just under that.
Maybe $50, $100, whatever it is. $5,625. So you can say, Alexa, please lift the toilet seat. And your toilet seat will rise up on this thing that you paid $5,000 for.
That's not the only thing it does. It has a bidet. It has to have a
yep,
bidet.
It does. It has a bidet spray configuration. And there are speakers on the toilet to play your favorite tunes as well. And it keeps track of water usage for you. Modius, a headband that helps you lose weight, has been debuted at CBS, if you're into that.
What? CES?
CES. What did I say?
CBS.
CBS, the television station, not behind this. Foldamate and Laundroid, new robots that will fold your laundry.
Ooh, I would buy that in a second if I was rich.
A full load of laundry folded for you in just 4 minutes.
What is that called?
That is called Foldamate, and it's $980.
That is not bad considering the toilet seat was $5,000.
There's another one that is called Laundroid that folds from a drawer of clothes. It takes a lot longer than the 4 minutes, and it's a pricey $16,000. But that I can get behind that, technology that does that stuff. Kingston Nucleum is a 7-in-1 hub for MacBooks, which basically is just a message to Apple that says, hey, dummies, give us the port spec that you took away on the side of the computer. A Dell XPS 13 debuted at CES.
Oh, I love that singer.
Which is a, what is this thing? A woven glass laptop?
Okay.
That's kind of cool.
I don't even know what it is. I guess it's, you can like write on them if you want to. They're, you can put permanent marker on there and it still comes off. Zeros, a washing machine that could really slash your water bill. A bracelet to fight assaults. A special robot for seniors has been debuted.
Yay!
3D rudder, a game controller for your feet. Aibo, which we talked about so long ago, a robot dog. And finally, announced at CES. I keep wanting to say CBS.
That's okay.
Announced at CES, a piece of technology that is far too expensive, maybe cool for certain people. Sunflower has been released, an $8,000 robotic umbrella that moves along with the sun, plays music, and even works as a security camera because everything has to do everything nowadays. I think we can come up with some better stuff than that, but there are still many more days left at this huge, huge event that's going on in Vegas.
LG has a 65-inch TV that rolls up.
What do you mean? Like a poster rolls up?
Yeah.
Is that thin?
Like a yoga mat.
Do I need that, though? Do I need my TV to roll up?
Nobody needs it. It's like the cool stuff that we want or will spend our lives always wanting but can't afford.
I think your living room now is built in such a way that if you didn't have a TV in there, a lot of times it looks weird. So this thing folded up, I don't know. Maybe this all catches on. Maybe it's the next big thing. Who knows? When we come back, so much to get into today. That story I will not do because we are way too much into the lunchtime zone. But we will talk about a brand new show that will hit your eyeballs. You will not be able to avoid this. Trust me, it's because of how it's going to be released. And what you're going to be watching soon is what we'll tell you next. It's the News Junkie on Real Radio.
Chance to text in and win tickets to see the sold-out Alter Ego show in Los Angeles is just minutes away on Real Radio 104.1. Real Radio 104.1. Preparing you
for the impending robot uprising.
This is the News Junkie.
I've been so sick of flying.
It's a gloomy Wednesday. Screwing with people, too. I think it's messing with people. Except for Aztec Warrior in the chat room in the News Junkie app. He says, this weather makes me horny, which I find very, very bizarre. Somebody says, this rain makes me sleepy. Smokey McPod. That makes a hell of a lot more sense. This is one of those days, almost like the cold days, where you could just stay in a cocoon in the bed and be A-okay with that.
You know what? They should invent at CES, allow us to do that, where we could just plug in, still be at home, but clearly on the radio. Nobody would even know it.
You just like flip around and then headphones descend down under your ear. Oh, you don't even need the headphones if you're in like a cocoon bed thing.
Exactly.
I would never stay awake.
Yeah, well,
you'd probably go to sleep pretty quickly, I think.
A recline option as well.
If you had the option to either stay in bed and do the radio show or get your ass out of bed, come all the way to the station, go through the fog and the rain and the nastiness and get in here and do the show, I think you could manage to stay up in your little bed pod where you're doing the radio show.
I would need to at least go into a separate room that is not my own or get out of my bed and be in a chair Dude, I fall asleep quickly, man.
You do. I've seen it before. I've seen it happen. And anywhere, too.
And I have this medicine I'm taking right now that's like, one of the side effects is extreme tiredness. And I'm like, I'm already extremely tired.
Oh, no. So, see, now this maybe is not going to work for us. We're going to have to get up and come in here like we do anyways. We got to get things going. Pumped up today. The chat room is just as slow as can be. I don't understand what's happening over there. Finally picking up now. And people jumping in.
Come on, y'all. Let's do it.
I'm sorry. They haven't been there in a while.
You know? Pump up the chat. Pump it up.
The beginning of the year, it just takes a little while to get you guys going. Like, wake up. Everything's fine. We're moving on here.
While your thumbs are typing.
If you don't have an account, search for The News Junkie in the App Store. Download your app. Create your account. And if you get the email and just confirm it, then you'll be able to jump right into chat with everybody else and hang out there. There's a lot of people talking usually, but right now, it's just sleepy day. Mm-hmm. It's just whoosh.
It's a nap time.
Quiet in there, just sleepy. Hello, Dr. Love's Cupcake. Keep them in line in there, please, in the chat room in the News Junkie app. Would you guys, if you had to get, if you were forced to get a flu shot, would you get one?
If I was forced?
Yeah, like if your job said you have to get a flu shot or you can't work here. Like,
sure.
They said, iHeartMedia goes, all our employees are required to be on the radio to get a flu shot.
Yeah, I mean, I guess if that was a requirement, I don't really have a plan B, so I guess shoot me up.
Have you ever had a flu shot? I've never even got one.
No, I don't think so. I don't think I have. I've only had the flu, like, once, knock on wood.
You know, this is amazing to me. You've only had the flu once? I was talking to Muffin Lady the other day. She said she's never had the flu. I thought everybody got the flu at some point in time.
What makes the flu different from a cold?
I'm talking about where you got a fever, you're throwing up,
you'll know the difference.
Yeah, you're sick. You know, you got the flu. That's what everybody's trying to avoid. I thought everybody had it at least some point in time. Maybe my immune system is just that bad. But I asked this question because there's a woman in Long Beach, New York, and her name's Allison LaBarbera. She's of Long Beach, and she's also 5 months pregnant. She's a vascular ultrasound technician, and she works at this hospital. The hospital requires the vaccine. So if you work at that hospital, they require you to get the vaccine. I may butcher this. I do not know a lot about vaccines. I know they don't cause autism, but I think that the flu shot has a tiny little bit of the flu virus in it. And
so
then
that's what vaccines usually are, so that's easy to assume.
And then your body fights the tiny little flu virus, and then if you get the actual flu virus, it knows how to fight it off better. You're vaccinated from it like all the other ones work. And they want her to get this, and she said, no. So I'm not going to do it. I'm 5 months pregnant. I don't know what this is going to do to my baby. I've been fine with it every other year, but now being pregnant, I don't want to do this. And they said, all right, you're fired. And they got rid of this woman who was, by all means, a successful and good employee for them. And she says, I've been on this holistic kind of trip with this pregnancy, and I've been really trying to take care of my body as best as I possibly can. And injecting the flu shot into my body is just something that I am not interested in right now. The hospital, on their part, says pregnancy alone is not a valid basis for exemption, and they point to the American College of Obstetrics and Gynecologists recommendation that all pregnant women get the vaccine. They're saying that she should have done it. They can't have her around these patients. More details here.
This is America. This is the land of second opinions.
Allison and her husband, pregnant with their first child due in June. She'd hoped to continue working as a vascular ultrasound technician at Winthrop Hospital until she gave birth. But Barbara Barris says she has been fired from her job and is back home in Long Beach because she refused to get a flu shot.
I believe if you threaten people with their paychecks and their benefits, you can really probably get them to do anything. But I don't believe in that. I think that's bullying people into doing things that they're not comfortable with.
She got people defending her. Civil rights attorney Rick Ostroff says this is discriminatory. They have an obligation to engage in an interactive process to find an acceptable accommodation. For example, maybe wearing a mask, a gown, or some other procedures. But they're basically forcing them all to get a vaccination, which is what led to this woman being fired. And now she's 5 months pregnant and out of a job, which is definitely not a good situation for her to be in. But she said she just didn't want to do it. She didn't want to take that vaccine, worried about maybe getting sick from it and that spreading to the baby. People are, at the beginning of the year, scrounging for money. You know how the end of the year is. It's hard, buying a lot of presents, spending a lot of money going out, doing this and that while you're on vacation. And those who are looking for some extra money, there are two stories out today about things that almost all of us had when we were a kid that all of a sudden are worth a ton of money. And perhaps you could have thousands of dollars on your hands. I'll get to that in just a second. Here's I'm Not a Hippie with a Dispatch.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey.
I just want to say that that is possible. Actually, it happened to my high school probably about 10 or so years before I got there. I graduated high school in 2006.
Well, he's talking about the reality show where seven people go undercover as students at a high school.
So this was at Seminole High School in Sanford. And, yeah, they had a big drug bust. It was a few undercovers that, you know, posed as kids, well, students. And I think it was for like a whole semester. And it was a big drug bust. And I actually know one of the guys that got busted personally. So I know it's true and it can happen again. And, yeah, that's what happened. All right, guys. Have a great show. Peace.
See, I always think I'd be able to pick those people out if I was in the classroom. And then I actually, we know some undercover cops. And if they walked into a room, I would not know that they were undercover cops.
Right. There was, I've known some that I might be suspicious of, although it's hard to tell, like, once you already know.
Mm-hmm.
When you already know the ahead of time the person's an undercover cop, like, yeah, that guy, I wouldn't pick him out.
Expect him to be real stiff, though. Like, hey, bros, yeah, where can I get the marijuana around here?
Where's the kush or the drogue?
But yeah, in school, you know, I don't remember ever thinking anybody was like that, but it wasn't anything that was on my radar. But there was definitely a kid that went to my high school that just matured faster than a lot of the other guys.
Mustache early.
Full mustache and beard, and he drove a classic car to the point where he could leave our high school, drive across the street to the Hess station, and buy beer.
And no questions asked.
No questions.
Oh, man. Cool. That, very nice for a little while, and then you look older than everybody else, and it's probably not as good in the long run.
Yeah, I mean, it worked out. Yeah, I got that fake ID, though, but I did get that taken away quickly when it looked absolutely nothing like it.
Yeah, mine was terrible, too, and I never memorized any of the information on my fake ID. That's why I started making them. Here's a Carrion Cupcake with the very first dispatch.
Hey, guys, Carrion Cupcake here.
Damn it.
About that TV show you were just talking about the undercover adults mixing in with the high schoolers. True story, I am 30 years old. My daughter is 12. And check my profile picture, because every day when I go to take her to school or to pick her up, they try to make me stay. She's in middle school.
Well,
anyway, just thought I'd give you my 2 cents. Have an awesome day, guys. Right.
They think she's a middle school student?
What's her name?
Carrion, Carrion, I think, Cupcake. Let me see. I'll bring up the profile here on the News Junkie app. There it is right there. And hang on, it's probably getting a drill. Oh, she definitely looks really young. She does not look in her 30s at all. I don't know if I would say, hey, that's a middle school student, but she definitely looks young.
There's a reason for that.
Yeah.
It's that black don't crack.
Oh, don't do that.
What do you mean, don't do that?
How dare you,
Nobody's
sir.
Offended by black don't
How
crack.
How dare you, sir.
Nobody's Man. Offended by that.
Somebody probably is.
No.
I don't care if they are. Here's C-Lane's buddy, Mo Money.
Hey, guys. So I had to go undercover in a call center to find this guy called John. Oh, thank you. Come again.
See, I have no idea what your buddy is talking about there.
Yeah,
I'm lost on that one. Completely lost. When we come back, we'll do the next episode with Sabrina, and I'll tell you about those things maybe sitting in your closet or your attic right now, or your attic, and you could have thousands of dollars on your hands, which would be nice to start out the year with here when all of us are kind of reeling from the money spent to round out 2017. Do you have them? We'll see next. It's the News Junkie on Real Radio.
It's just like being in the studio with us. Almost.
Told you not to make eye contact with the bear. Now you gotta fight it.
Facebook.com/RealRadio1041. Brought to you by Seacoast Bank. See why local is better by visiting seacoastbank.com.
Real Radio 104.1.
Because you're never too old to learn something stupid. This is the News Junkie.
You got a little, you can use much more. Bump, 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 passion.
Bump, 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 passion. The next episode with Sabrina in just a moment. Everybody likes to think there's something somewhere in their closet, in their attic, where they can pull it down, sell it. They don't care about it. They're going to make a whole bunch of money. And there's a bunch of stuff that's coming back right now on eBay is leading people to do exactly that. The one thing, and this is even being debuted right now alongside the awesome Uber drone that they just revealed at CES, this Consumer Electronics Show in Las Vegas, the return of Game Boy. And all right. I guess it's starting to catch fire again. People are interested in the old school Game Boy. With that, the old school Game Boy games, if anybody has them, are worth crazy money right now.
This is the conversation I've been waiting to have.
You have some of them?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man. You have a stash of these things?
Yes, I do. I just have to go through my old stuff, but I'm pretty sure I saved, like, Pokemon. And I don't even know what other games.
Some of those, even the more common ones are going to be worth money because people will want to get them if they're getting back into Game Boy. But one is Wario Land. Do you have that one?
Yes.
Wario Land's worth about $2,500.
Whoa.
No.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. The Legend of Zelda, the one that I'm looking at, and there might be something special about it, but the Legend of Zelda, this one's in a box. For $1,600.
Now, do these have to be in their original packaging and stuff like that?
Because they're worth more like that.
Yeah, a lot of toys are like that. What's weird is that Game Boy is not, or the Ultra Game Boy is what they're calling it, is not being released by Nintendo.
Who's releasing it?
Hyperkin.
Really?
Yeah.
It looks the exact same. It looks just like the old one.
Before the Game Boy Classic Edition has a chance to become more than a rumor, peripherals manufacturer Hyperkin is releasing its own remake of the classic portable handheld, which I don't get how they could do that.
They must have permission.
They've got to.
Yeah, otherwise they wouldn't be able to release that. But there's a whole bunch of games out there, thousands of dollars that they're worth right now. So if you have any Game Boy games stored away, not a bad idea to check out eBay and see what theirs are going for. And to the young girls who grew up with Polly Pocket in their lives. Polly Pocket was a big craze in the 1990s. I remember that stupid song, and it was on commercials that played over and over and over again. Now it's worth crazy big bucks. There's a birthday theme set. If you have it, $300 it's selling for now. It originally sold for like $8. They have the Magical Mansion is selling for up to $90. The Fairy Light Wonderland Polly Pocket, $455. The Compact Playset, $305. So several hundred dollars at least on tons of those. This is all this stuff that you probably just have packed away if you've been kind of storing things. You can get rid of it, toss it online, make a little money to start your year off as we do the next episode.
Because there's a lot on TV and you can't possibly keep up with all of it, even though you should, because what else are you going to talk about?
By the way, little bit about me. I may have fantasies about cannibalism that I wrote about online, and they almost sent me to jail for a long time.
Nothing. Weather's nice.
It's time for the next episode with Sabrina.
Hey. Context.
Are you ready for the next episode?
Yeah.
Was it out of context?
Pretty sure
it was out of your diary.
That one was out of context.
19 years ago, the year 1999, this show debuted on television, a stop-motion animated series? Anything?
Hey Arnold?
It's not stop-motion? Eddie Murphy?
Oh! Oh, I do know it. Is this Bebe's kid? No, that's not it.
When you are going to sleep, you wear...
underwear.
Pajamas.
PJs. Oh, the PJs is right.
Oh, I didn't watch that.
No candy, I don't think. Well, you'll know this, 24 years ago, 1994, someone went on trial in Manassas, Virginia, for a wiener whack, a wiener whack, a wiener whack.
Oh, Rena Baba.
That's right. That was 24 years ago. She was acquitted by reason of temporary insanity. Just temporary. So, you know, if life gives you lemons, you may be in a good spot. And if it gives you melons, you may be dyslexic.
The thing that always blew my mind was somebody married her after that. After that whole thing. Some other guy was like, I trust you.
He looked down in his groin and he's like, okay, there's no way that she'll chop this one. Let's do this
thing. And he went into porn.
Brave, yeah.
Oh, no. Zombie Frankenpeen.
He did, yes. The original guy. Not John Holmes. What the hell was his name?
John Bobbitt.
John Bobbitt.
Definitely not that John Holmes. Sense.
And the story about that, all the details were so great. She cut off his penis and then had it in her hand and was driving with it on the steering wheel in one of her hands as she was clasping the steering wheel. And then she realized what she had and then threw it out the window. So they had to go like a couple blocks away to get that sucker back, put it on him.
Quote of the day, you cannot wear big glasses anymore. And that was from this guy right here. I just wanted you to know. Rhymes with Fonlay Mest.
Kanye West.
Kanye West is right. And he was giving Kim very important fashion advice in an email. It has been revealed that he is a bit of a hands-on husband when it comes to what all the Kardashians are wearing. And I guess so much so that back in the day, he flew to France for 24 hours just so he could style his wife and her sister for an event.
Wow.
You can't see everything through FaceTime, he had explained. Then, I guess over the weekend for another episode of Keeping Up with the Kardashians, he says, in addition to closet makeovers and personal styling appointments, Kanye sends trend memos to his wife via email.
That must be fun.
Sent a whole email like, you cannot wear big glasses anymore. It's all about tiny little glasses, referring to the teeny tiny matrix-like sunglasses the Kardashians and now everybody is wearing. That is what's in, so you guys know. Now, they recounted a story over lunch. Kim wore a pair of hand-selected glasses by her husband. He sent me, like, millions of 90s photos with tiny little glasses. And I guess everyone now has the Matrix memo. Now, having a husband controlling your clothing choices sounds like I'd want to take the blue pill, if you know what I mean. But you should definitely get yourself somebody like Kanye who just emails you the personal mood boards and where the fashion's at. Perhaps like a chain letter.
I feel about these tiny glasses.
I know, and I don't know how I feel either, but the trends don't wait for you to feel right about it. Yeah. They just happen. I'm just letting you know that is what the latest is. And the latest with this guy right here.
Puff Daddy.
Puff Daddy's right. P. Diddy, Honeycombs, Puff Dad. He has seemingly responded to the whirlwind of controversy sparked by the H&M ad, which features a black child wearing a jumper with the slogan, Coolest Monkey in the Jungle.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we all know that Diddy's all about the Benjamins. This time, 10,000 bennies to be exact, he has offered a $1 million contract to the little boy model from H&M. They say to model for his own brand, Sean John. Now, there's no word yet if the lad has accepted. Diddy's people refused to comment when approached by the news outlets, but it would be certainly one heck of an outcome considering the S-storm that this all has caused.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, a good opportunity for the little boy.
$1 million.
Diddy also posted a picture of the boy with a caption reading, Coolest King in the World. So, some good news out of that controversy. And some good news for fans of this lady right here.
Celine Dion.
Celine Dion is right. You are on fire, Christopher Lane.
Not bad on Celine Dion like he is.
Good news for just one fan.
Ew.
She dealt with a very drunk fan in the classiest of ways. And this very drunk fan, a woman, she jumped on stage and attempted to dry hump Celine Dion.
Okay, that's a brave move.
During her performance at Caesar's Palace in Vegas, per multiple reports and an incredible video. Here we go.
Let me tell you something. I'm glad you came up on stage tonight. I'm glad that I thought you just wanted to come closer to me.
There's the hump.
But you know
she's humping her?
She's humping.
I'm glad you came closer to me. Yes. Okay, Olivier, you can leave her here, but stay with her.
Olivier is the security guard.
Yeah.
That is trying to pull her by the arm.
Because she'll need help, but look at me. We're all going to forgive you a hand.
Is it Barbara?
Don't touch me.
Barbara. Ooh, did you hear that?
That was her?
I thought you... Okay, come with me. It's okay, it's okay. You know what?
So she chatted with her. Instead of ordering security to immediately remove the unruly fan, Dion used the incident to remind people to be kind to one another. Now, the unidentified woman for a couple minutes sat up there, and then Celine made sure she was safely escorted from the stage, but that was after having this conversation.
I love you most. I love you most.
That's how
you are good.
She's hammered.
Thank you so much. But you promise me you'll be careful? Oh, he's okay. He's my brother. He's good.
He's good. It's unclear whether Dion invited the woman to join her or the fan crashed the stage of her own accord. I'm going to guess it's the latter. But the end result was beautiful. And that, my friends, is the power of home.
She was having a good time.
Or love. I love you the most of this.
Don't touch me.
Comic book legend Stan Lee has been accused of groping and harassing the nurses who care for him at his home in Los Angeles.
Oh, man. Celine and I were talking about this for a second between one of the breaks. If this is a dominoes falling kind of thing, I could see old creepy guys at the nursing home touching the nurses as a huge thing that starts to fall out.
I'm sure that's something that gets swept under the rug a lot. Uh-huh. I mean, yeah.
Well, now more, at least according to the old home. Now, according to the Daily Mail, the nursing company is currently in a legal dispute with the 95-year-old after nurses claim he asked for oral sex in the shower and be pleasured in his bedroom. News left Marvel fans asking questions, specifically, what's oral sex? He doesn't seem to care what people think of him. He's lost his filter. There has been a stream of young nurses coming to his house in West Hollywood, and he has been sexually harassing them. He finds it funny.
He might have dementia or something.
He's also very handsy, has groped some of the women. It's unacceptable behavior, especially from an icon like Stan. A rep for the nursing company confirmed several nurses have complained, and the owner of the company has spoken to Lee directly, but they stopped working for him at the end of 2016. Now, of course, the lawyer is saying that he categorically denies these false and despicable allegations. He has received demands to pay money, so he will not be extorted or blackmailed, blah, blah, blah. Meanwhile, a rep for the new nursing company working for Lee said he has been polite, kind, and respectful to his staff. I mean, to their staff, to somebody's staff, and everything seems to be going just peachy.
All right.
Until he asked for some oral groping in the shower. Speaking of crazy, Tila Tequila. Now, we all know that she has been a little cuckoo.
She's had a bunch of breakdowns.
But, oh my God, yesterday afternoon was one for the books. She has claimed that she's behind porn star Olivia Nova's tragic death in a vile Facebook rant praising God for making this happen. The crazy bitch, who was removed from the Celebrity Big Brother house in 2015 after a picture of her standing outside Auschwitz wearing a Nazi armband emerged.
It's aggressive.
Mocked Olivia's death and said that she prayed for it to happen. She has now branded herself Tornado Thean.
I'm surprised she didn't get arrested for that Auschwitz thing, because that's serious stuff out there.
Why did she not get... Hold on. She's saying that she was responsible for this girl killing herself. And
she prayed it.
She got mad at her because she's a porn star?
Yes. We'll go into this, because now she has turned to God.
Okay.
And she's... I mean... Go to her Facebook page and see all the things that she wrote yesterday.
But she was definitely in a porn, right?
Yeah. Okay. Was she?
Yeah, I'm almost positive she was in a porn.
Well, she decided to go on Facebook. She now branded herself Tornado Thean, the self-described prophet of God, claimed in a bizarre rant that more adult industry performers would die because she wants them to.
Oh, great.
Looks like more porn stars are dying and have died. Yikes. Y'all better get out of this industry ASAP, because more deaths and deadly diseases will hit this particular industry very soon, because I prayed for it to be, she wrote. God is now working his way to make this happen. Don't say I didn't warn you all. I suggest for those in the porn industry to repent all your sins so that you may be saved. For the wages of sin is death, with 12,000 exclamation points.
She needs help. I'm like, seriously, I know a lot of people watch her.
This is a red flag. This is someone, and I mean, she's still taking care of her child, right?
She has really bad mental illness. It's so clear from looking at this stuff, and she should maybe not have unsupervised visits with that kid.
She says God will strike her down if she's lying, since everyone's getting all riled up. I take it upon myself to take it a step further by praying that the Lord strikes me down, breaks my teeth, breaks my bones, strikes me down with lightning if anything I've said so far has been a lie. So hashtag thank you, Jesus. She also has called on residents of California to repent of homosexuality so that they don't die in the natural disasters.
Isn't she also in a gay dating show?
She was, but not anymore. Now it's so Jesus.
She's really upset at people who are doing the same things that she did.
Precisely. So I'll leave you with that. Homosexuals and porn stars, beware. Tila Tequila is coming after you. On the Boob Tube, the Howie Mandel stand-up gala, 8 p.m. on the CW, series premiere of Alone Together, 8:30 on Freeform. The 200th episode of Modern Family is going to be tonight, 9 p.m. on ABC, Match Game, 10 p.m. following that. And Wednesday, late night shows, you could see Sarah Jessica Parker, which is also known as Sarah Jessica Parker, on Colbert. Happy hump day. And don't forget,
smoke weed every day.
Thank you, Sabrina. Live trivia up next. If you'd like to play, now's the time to call us. And to do that, 407-916-1041. Toll free, 1-888-978-1041. Everybody else, get the app ready to go because you can play right along with us no matter where you are. You can get the app by searching for the News Junkie in the App Store. Fire it up, wait for that play button, and answer quickly to get on top of the scoreboard. Or dial us up, 407-916-1041. Toll free, 1-888-978-1041. Live trivia. It's up next with the News Junkie on Real Radio.
If you ever need to talk, he'll pretend to listen. You're listening to the News Junkie.
If your friends are cool, then why don't they ever want to take it easy?
Live trivia in just a moment. I promise you we'd talk about this, so I'll squeeze it in here before live trivia. A show you probably won't be able to ignore and delivered in a relatively new way is going to be released soon. And Gautam Chopra is the guy behind it. That's Deepak Chopra's son, who's making a documentary film about Tom Brady, one of the first with all access. Behind the scenes, you see him, you see Giselle, you see the kids, you see how they live their life. You see him going on a bro trip with his friends, and it will be unavoidable because, you know, Facebook controls the stream, right? You have this everywhere. Just him in the house, hanging out with the family. It's called Tom versus Time.
If you're going to compete against me, you better be willing to give up your life, because I'm giving up.
He's a big fan of himself, and I don't blame him for it. They say one of the more fascinating scenes involves Brady staring like a zombie at a computer screen. Intense and serene, it's as if he's neutrally linked to the game film he's watching. I don't know if they meant neurally there. That might have been what they were going for, but
He doesn't approve or disprove of it. He's neutral.
I'm not connected. It says neutral in the article I was reading, but I think they meant something else. Tom versus Time, it will be all over and unavoidable in your Facebook world real soon. Let's do live trivia.
Get ready for live trivia with the News Junkie. You can play along with the News Junkie smartphone app.
Right. What?
Unless you don't have it, in which case get it at thenewsjunkie.com or call 407-916-1041. Toll free 888-978-1041. Good luck.
That's live trivia for a Wednesday, January 10th, 2018. And live trivia is brought to you by Nations Trucks and NationsTrucks.com. 7 questions. You got to get more right than the other person, or you got to answer as fast as you can in just a matter of seconds. 10 seconds from right now, as a matter of fact, on the News Junkie app. Pick your players, Sabrina. Pasty-faced opportunist, Sarica Jessica Parker, Amy, Christy, promo sticker guy, or why me?
How about Sarica Jessica Parker?
That'll be fun to say over and over. Here
it's
we go.
Sarica.
Sarica, are you there?
Yeah.
That's easier. Who else?
And promo sticker guy.
That's down here. Promo sticker guy, you with us?
I'm here.
Awesome. And everybody else is playing along right now in the News Junkie app. We have Sarica and promo sticker guy, our players. And if somebody's honking a horn, can we please put a stop to that as we get to question number one? Who is that? That's doing me.
Sorry, that was somebody's alarm going off near
Oh, okay. That's not your fault. My bad. Here, let's get to question number one. We'll just put it behind us. Coachella organizers have banned marijuana from its grounds, despite the fact that recreational use is now legal in the state. How did they break the news on the festival's website? Did they say, sorry, not sorry, Cannabis 2018, sorry, bro, or Saz Bliach, Serica?
The first one.
Okay, I'll put you down for that. Promo sticker guy, what do you want?
Number four.
Okay, we'll go to number two. In this week's display of homeowners association idiocy, the Auburn Greens complex in California is allegedly requiring all of its residents do this during the week. Do they have to paint their doors red, get rid of all their pets, purchase and plant a sunflower garden, or are they required to keep their garage doors open? Promo sticker guy.
Number three.
Serica.
Keep the garage open.
Number three, earlier this week, New Jersey state legislature approved a ban on doing this while inebriated. Offenders could spend up to 6 months in prison for doing it. Is it walking their dogs, operating drones while drunk, going to the tanning salon while drunk, or grocery shopping while drunk? Serica.
Drones.
You say drones?
Correct.
Okay, and let's see, promo sticker guy.
Drones.
Both of you saying drones as we go to number four. The Weeknd has cut ties with fashion giant H&M after an offensive photo surfaced on the retailer's website of a child modeling a hoodie that said this, that it's a masturbator, my mom's a fuzz bumper, coolest monkey in the jungle, or sick my duck. Promo sticker guy.
Coolest monkey.
Serica.
Same.
Number five, a British man was arrested after a prostitute in Thailand plunged five floors all the way down to her death after having a very strange, extravagant sex session on this. Were they on an abandoned treehouse, a Ferris wheel, a suspended window cleaner platform, or a hotel balcony? One of those is right, Serica. Which is it?
Hotel balcony.
Promo sticker guy.
Balcony.
Number six, over the weekend, New York-based DJ and producer Gina Turner was among more than 20 people arrested for drug possession while boarding a cruise ship music festival called this. Was it the USS Biatch? Was it the Holy Ship Cruise? Was it the Natui Gulls and Boys? Oh, God. Natui Gulls.
Naughty.
Naughty Gulls and Buoys Fest. Oh, I mean, some of these. How
nautical.
Could I ever? I understand it now. The Naughty Gulls and Buoys Fest or the Dubistry of the Seas. One of those is right. Promo sticker guy. Go ahead.
Number two.
Serica.
Holy ship.
There you go. Number seven. Ship is what he said.
Ship.
Yesterday, we learned the little piece of paper that sticks out of a Hershey's Kiss is called this. Is it a nad rod, a vaggly baggly, an umber thong, or a niggly wiggly? Serica.
That would be a niggly wiggly.
Promo sticker guy?
Niggly wiggly.
There you go. We're going to put you both on hold because we got to go over these. We got to score them up, make sure they're the right answers for each of you, and crown a victor before we see how you did playing along in the News Junkie app. Are y'all prepared to go over these, Sabrina?
Yes, queen.
Number one, Coachella organizers have banned marijuana from the festival, and they used this language to break the news on the website. They say, sorry, not sorry, Cannabis 2018. Sorry, bro, or Saz Bliach?
Serica said, sorry, not sorry, but I'm sorry, that's not right. It was promo sticker guy that says Saz Bliach. That answer was wrong, Bliach. But Saz is what the kids are saying now. Found that out on the internet yesterday. Correct answer, sorry, bro.
Let's go to number two in this week's display of HOA idiocy. They are telling in one neighborhood the residents to do this. Paint their doors red, get rid of all their pets, purchase and plant a sunflower garden, or keep their garage doors open.
Promo sticker guy said purchase and plant a sunflower garden, and that answer was incorrect.
Off to a great start.
Serica said keep their garage door open, and that answer was H-O-Yay.
Oh, we're on the board. Number three. Earlier this week in New Jersey, they made it illegal to do this while drunk, walking their dogs, operating their drones, going to the tanning salon, or grocery shopping.
Both the players said operating drones and Jaeger bombs. That was right.
Number four, The Weeknd has cut ties with H&M after this photo of a little kid wearing a hoodie has said this: masturbator, my mom's a fuzz bumper, coolest monkey in the jungle, or sick my duck.
Promo Sticker Guy and Serica both said coolest monkey in the jungle, and I feel it coming. That right answer.
Number five, a British man was arrested after a prostitute in Thailand plunged to her death. They were busy having strange, extravagant sex in this spot. Still don't know what strange and extravagant sex is. Maybe there was some dangling going on. God only knows. Were they on an abandoned treehouse, a Ferris wheel, a suspended window cleaner platform, or a hotel balcony?
Both the players said a hotel balcony, and that answer was... Right.
Number six, over the weekend, a New York-based DJ and producer, Gina Turner, was among more than 20 people arrested for drug possession. They were trying to board a cruise ship music festival by this name. Was it the USS Biatch, Holy Ship, Naughty Gulls and Buoys Fest, or the Dubistry of the Seas?
Both the players said Holy Ship, and that answer was right.
Dubistry.
Like dubstep. I don't know. I made it up.
Number seven. Yesterday, we learned that the little piece of paper that sticks out of a Hershey's Kiss is called this. Is it a nad rod, vaggly baggly, umber thong, or niggly wiggly?
Serica and Promo Sticker Guy both said niggly wiggly, and there's a smile on every Hershey bar and a smile in that right answer. We do have a winner of live trivia, and that's Serica Jessica Parker.
All right. Yeah. I don't know what he's saying, but congratulations, Serica Jessica Parker. You listened, you paid attention, and you're the victor today in live trivia. What do we have for prizes, C-Lane?
No need for the long face, Serica Jessica Parker. Man. You've got yourself a pair of tickets to Otronicon, and I'm very proud of that joke, at Orlando Science Center.
Just smiling
happening
at me.
January 12th through 15th. Nothing can capture our curiosity more than the future. Nothing captures the future better than Otronicon. I know it. I've been the past couple years, and we're going to have a good time out there this Friday. Which I found out you are asking if Otronicon was open to the public this Friday when we will be broadcasting there.
Yeah.
It very much is open. In fact, it's a special day at Otronicon.
Oh, no.
Is it Kids Day?
It's Kids Day, isn't it?
It's Field Trip Day.
Oh, my God!
We are screwed.
So,
who dropped the ball on this one? Who in sales didn't realize this?
This may be an opportunity get, you know, younger listeners.
We need the baby numbers to spike in 2018. Maybe this is what we have to do. We just got to embrace it.
More so an opportunity for our engineer Simon to not have to bring a PA system with us. I also have a pair of tickets to four Florida Cup games going on this weekend, January 12th through the 15th. That's PSV Eindhoven versus Fluminense, Rangers FC at the Corinthians, Atletico Nacional versus Atletico, and Fluminense once again versus Barcelona SC. Tickets to Florida Cup games on sale now. Visit realradio.fm, keyword tickets, for more info.
Thank you, C-Lane. Let's take a look at the scoreboard in the News Junkie app.
At the top spot with 1,915 points, the Dita keeps the lead, followed by Panda J. Loon. Took by Shevard Levy, but the Levy was Bry. At third, Laserblade, Thomas, Ascolio, Testicular Manslaughter, Ball Death Dealer, Shan Shan, and Bluegill McGillicuddy. The back five look like Drunken Pirate, Ben, Funky Fresh, Just Zach, and Wester Steve for the 50th spot.
Thank you all for playing along. You too, get involved. Do it. You've heard enough about it today. Search for The News Junkie in the App Store. Get the app, get your account, get ready to go, and get involved with the show, friends. When we return, what an absolute nightmare this must have been. A cruise ship sailing for no reason that I can think of, directly through a terrible storm. What went down on board, what it looked like, what it must have been like to be on there, you will not believe the details next. It's the News Junkie on Real Radio.
Because the newspapers don't come with cliff notes or potentially offensive accents. This is the News Junkie. I got my bags packed and I'm ready to go. Tell me one damn thing, I ain't already
is a nightmare, man. I don't know why they would ever do this, but as we were going through this bomb cyclone thing, and it's so cold in the state of Florida, and people are freaking out, little did we know, out at sea, there was a ship, a Norwegian cruise ship, and they decided, even though on these ships, and Sabrina, have you ever been on, you've been on a big cruise ship before?
Yes, I have.
Have you ever seen up where the captain is and where they drive and all the technology that they have up there?
I've seen it from afar, and then, you know, I have an idea of what it looks like inside based on movies and television.
It's unbelievable. They do tours through the captain's, what is that called? Like the
captain's
the deck?
Room.
The
main, oh. The hub, the something with an H. It's coming to me. The helm.
Helm? Captain's helm? Whatever they call that. That area has all kinds of unbelievable technology on a cruise ship. And when it comes to detecting weather, which is a very important thing for them, it's basically like what you would have at a television station. They've got radar sweeps going on. They're getting information from all over the world. They know when there's bad weather. In fact, I've been on a cruise before where there was a real bad storm and they tried to go around it. It was still bad. But they ended up having to delay our destination a little bit so they could go through. The bridge? Is that what it is?
That's
Ceylon?
What it is. The bridge. Bridge.
That's what it is. Captain's Bridge. That spot right there. Well, on this Norwegian cruise ship, they said, sir, captain, there is a bomb cyclone directly in front of our path. And the captain said, all right, full speed ahead. And as we were all shivering in Florida, they were sailing right through this thing, and there is some nightmare video of this ship. I've been on something probably not even comparable, but really bad stormy seas when I was working on a Princess cruise for 2 weeks. That's Princess Cruise Lines, lest you think I was like dressed up as a princess.
Oh, Sean, Princess Cruise.
I wasn't like a Disney princess.
Cinderella, Snow White.
I was just DJ Sean.
Could have just gone right through that, and we wouldn't have made fun of you. And now,
now I'm so aware. I'm always aware.
I can show you
though on the defensive. And so I'm DJing on this cruise ship, and the weather got really bad, and the ship's going up and down, and it's hard to walk because it's moving back and forth. What I went through wasn't a 20th of what was happening on this ship. There was water pouring into the casinos. There was 100-mile-an-hour winds at particular times, gusts that would pick up. It was a seasickness mess on this ship. And you know how the whole chain reaction seasickness or puking thing goes. There's people just everywhere just getting sick.
Oh, just like sympathy vomiting?
Oh, God. You're hearing somebody else do it, and your stomach is all uneasy. The passengers aboard the ship. And oddly enough, I just thought of this. Of all the things that I have, I do not get seasick. I got one thing going for me. I don't get seasick for some reason.
I don't either. I mean, I had been on boats my whole life until this last cruise I went on. I think it was 2 years ago now with my family.
Yeah, was it bad?
Yeah, like I really was having a hard time, and I had never thought in a million years that I would have an issue. But when you're like laying in bed and you could feel the waves and the movement, like I had to drown myself in alcohol in order to go to sleep.
I discovered the worst thing ever is when you have a really bad hangover and it's doing that. When you're juggling both those things, that's not a good time. And a lot of people were doing that on this ship. They said the passengers aboard the ship endured a horrific journey home despite the fact that the storm was accurately forecast days in advance by meteorologists. So they cannot tell you why. They just drove right through this thing. They didn't even get back into port until early this week. And the people who were on board were very upset about the decision to drive right in to the center of this damn thing. I think some of the passengers are talking in this report.
Christina Maurice, these passengers so grateful the ship finally docked here this afternoon. They say there were times during their voyage they did not think they would make it home alive.
I don't blame them.
With water pouring from the ceiling,
and winds outside screeching.
Hear that?
I'm completely traumatized, and I'll never go on any type of boat again in my life after this.
Passengers on the Norwegian breakaway described conditions the last few days like something out of a movie.
I was holding on for dear life. I honestly wasn't sure we were going to make it through the night. The boat was tilted like crazy.
The 4,000-passenger cruise ship heading home from the Bahamas right into the path of this week's storm.
But why wouldn't they go around it or wait? Or these cruise ships, the owners of the cruise ships have their own islands in some of these places.
Mm-hmm.
They could have just sat right there, waited this out.
I mean, there's obviously a reason why they went through. I don't know if it was a good reason, but
they don't give it even.
With ships that big, they have to have like the most experience ever, considering the amount of lives are in their hands. So
sure, yeah.
There has to be a reason behind that decision.
Yeah, they don't mention what Norwegian is saying was the reasoning for this. Maybe the report does. Hang on.
Passengers say the ship started leaking. Waves swelled up to 30 feet.
Great.
And dozens of worried vacationers slept in the ship's atrium.
Everything fell off our shelf. Glasses broke. In the middle of the night, there was no announcement made.
The captain should have told us a little more. He just kept saying, oh, we're in rough seas. Yeah. Well, no crap, we're in rough seas.
Oh. Elizabeth Vogt of the Upper East Side.
Don't piss these people off.
Some of them were scared, but they put on a really happy face.
Still, she says it was terrifying.
So I flew across the room, landing in the bathroom.
Man, I wouldn't want anything to do with that.
Nope.
Not a good trip there. Things gone wrong. And those people are some of them saying they will never, ever, ever, ever get back on a cruise ship or any boat for that matter ever again. There is a news website. And you guys sometimes make fun of me for the news websites that I'm aware of that I follow.
Salon.com.
It's not salon.com. It's a website. They actually have a magazine still, too. It's called The Atlantic. I don't know if you guys are familiar with The Atlantic.
I've read articles from there before.
So. I read The Pacific.
It's not about the ocean. It is just about politics, the world. I mean, they have all kinds of verticals, different things that they talk about. But they have a piece up this week that is supposed to be informing you of something that you didn't pick up on that is super offensive. Something baked into our lives that is really, truly... offensive.
Something that's never been offensive before. It's a part of our lives.
You probably, even though you've definitely seen this, have never suggested, considered, or believed that it was offensive that you were watching this.
I was watching it.
Yeah. And it's beyond just one thing. It's like a whole, you know what? Let me just tell you.
I know what it is.
What is it?
Is it the Puppy Bowl?
It's not the Puppy Bowl.
Damn.
Well, why would the Puppy Bowl be offensive? That's the greatest thing ever.
Because I was thinking of ridiculous things that we would never think is offensive.
No, they're talking about in all of the cartoons you watched growing up. They say there is something that is in common with all of the cartoon villains. And the villain always speaks in a foreign accent.
Oh.
And they said, we bake into our young kids that you got to be scared of these scary foreign accents. And so you start going through them. Like, think about... the villains and all these things.
One, two.
And let's say the Lion King. Not Mufasa. Scar. Scar's the villain. Did Scar have a foreign accent?
He's gay. It's a gay accent.
Wait, Scar had
Scar wasn't gay.
Effeminate?
No, Scar was... That was the whole thing. He was like a very effeminate, like, oh, darling, please. Different.
I have it here.
It's not fair, is it?
Kind of British.
British.
Well, I shall never be king. And you shall never see the light of another day.
It's a little bit British, I guess. They talk about some of the other ones in different movies, like Despicable Me, but that's Steve Carell.
Yeah, but he ended up being a good guy in that.
Yeah, he's not even really a bad guy.
I get the old stuff. I think immediately of Rocky and Bullwinkle, Natasha and Boris.
All right, yeah. Like
foreign accents.
Russian, they're supposed to be... I guess they said that in all these movies that they analyzed, and they looked into 323 animated TV characters using measures such as ethnic and gender identification, physical appearance, hero/villain status, and linguistic markers. The coders tested a random sample of 12 shows, which spanned a bunch of networks, airtimes, genres, all that stuff. And they said most common between the villains was the fact that they spoke with some kind of foreign accent, which I think is just to make it different than everything else. They even bring up Phineas and Ferb, the cartoon. Did you ever watch that?
I did not.
I watched that because my son watched it when he was growing up for a little while. But there's a guy called Doofenshmirtz.
Doofenshmirtz. Oh, one of my favorite villains.
He kind of talks like that. You're not that far off.
Doofenshmirtz.
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 It's a tough one. He is the bad guy in a cartoon called Phineas and Ferb, and they say he's an excellent example. Listen to his accent. You're supposed to be scared.
Oh, Demasinator 65,000! Powered Devoicinator! Coordinator! Giant magnet next to my ingenious magnetism magnifier.
It actually sounds more like Triumph, the insult comic dog.
Ah, for me to poop on!
than any kind of foreign accent that I can think of. But I don't know. They say there's something behind this, and it's sort of baked into your kid's head. I think they're just trying to go with an evil voice, and sometimes it turns out it's a booming voice, and it's a little more frightening if it's a little less familiar to you. If you just had somebody going, hey, I'm the bad guy. You know, give me back Simba. Where's Nala right now? That's not going to draw you in. It has to be a very characterized voice and delivery.
Yeah, I mean, but it could be American too. Yeah, and there are American there are villains.
Some. Yeah.
Absolutely. But I could see where the dramatics come from an accent.
What about in 101 Dalmatians, Cruella de Vil? Did she have a foreign accent?
Did she?
I don't remember.
She had a song.
Yeah, she had, but like she also had talking parts.
Yeah.
Cruella, I feel like she did have an accent, but I couldn't tell you what it was.
What about what's the villain's name in the Little Mermaid? The big
Ursula.
Ursula. Does Ursula have an accent?
Honestly, you're making me rethink my whole childhood because I can't imagine anybody's...
Me either.
Your voice. No, did she have an accent?
I can't pick them up. I'm trying to lock into what they actually sounded like.
I have Cruella here.
All right, this is from 101 Dalmatians.
15 puppies. How marvelous. How marvelous.
That's her?
Yeah.
Perfectly.
This is the impact.
Well, she's just British. That's what she's doing.
All right, here's Ursula.
I can't even imagine what that sounds like in my head right now.
That's
come in. Come in, my child.
Is that an accent?
We mustn't lurk in doorways. It's rude. One might question your upbringing.
I don't think
American.
So. It's weird because
like fancy American.
There's like a villainous flair, mm-hmm. and the villainous flair almost sounds foreign. It's just, this is the way the bad guy talks, but she didn't sound British or German or Russian or anything else like that. Let's talk to Chelsea. You're on Real Radio. Hello, Chelsea.
Hello, Chelsea.
Hi there.
Hey, go ahead.
So Cruella de Vil had an English accent, but it was set in London, so everybody had an English accent. I just watched it two nights ago, so I'm fresh on it, and really nobody had any type of foreign accents. They were just different versions of English accents.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, the two bad guys, Horace and Jasper, like the flunkies, their accents were like Cockney accents, so I guess it was supposed to seem like the less intelligent of the British people. So I guess that would be the only type of difference in that film. And
so,
then
there was just a noticeable difference between the way they talked versus the way the other main characters talk.
Yeah, and Cruella herself, her accent was very, you know, cheerio, cheerio, darling, just like very upper crust. So the only people who didn't have fancy accents to say were they called them the Baddens, the flunkies, Horace and Jasper.
Yeah, yeah, thank
and
you.
Then, yeah, for sure. And then Ursula, she had a regular accent, but she was voiced by a man, like a female drag queen did her voice. So that particular, I'm a very busy woman, all that, like that's because a man did her voice.
Really? All right, thank you, Chelsea. Yeah, there's a lot of people who are behind these voices, and I'm sure there's not this thought going in there. They're like, well, we need another Russian. I mean, and it could be different periods of history. Like when the countries that are going up against us are the Russians, and we're at a tough time in the Cold War, I'm sure that's who they make the villainous person quite a bit of time. And you might see the opposite if they were creating something about us. It's just something that you don't really consider that they went into and they analyzed through all these movies the bad person, the villain, and what kind of accent they actually had during that. Back in just a moment with Jury Duty, plus more of your dispatches and another controversy coming out of Celebrity Big Brother on the way. It's the News Junkie on Real Radio.
Real Radio Orlando on Facebook, brought to you by Seacoast Bank. See why local is better by visiting seacoastbank.com. Better by all accounts since 1926. Member FDIC.
The biggest stories of the day in all their glory and insanity.
You're listening to the News Junkie.
Dispatches in just a moment. I'm starting to worry about this now. You know, we're just 2 days away. We're going to be at Otronicon for a live broadcast on Friday. And it's going to be a different live broadcast. We'll have a couple of broadcasts this year where we turn it into a big-ass party like we always do. This is a chance for us to go into a different atmosphere and experience some other things during the show. Basically, we can't be at CES this weekend broadcasting live, but we could totally be at Otronicon, yeah. And they have awesome stuff there. And we can kind of tell you all about it and have some fun on a Friday. But C-Lane just informed us a matter of minutes ago that we're going to be there on Kids Day.
Yes.
Field Trip Day.
Field Trip Day, where a bunch of young kids will be going through Otronicon.
Yes.
Generally, we're not a show that people would play for kids.
Not generally.
But
so how do we do this?
Oh, I'm excited. I mean, I know why you're worried. I love kids. I'm good with kids. I could easily entertain via radio or robots, maybe both children.
Mm-hmm.
I think if you guys want to, you know, be on board with me, we could definitely have a good time. I mean, we don't have a PA. Try to not, you know, print some penis mutilation stories.
It doesn't even take that. Even if I have a story with somebody whose last name is super funny, and you know, you're like, oh, God. And you know exactly what's going to happen when mm-hmm. we start going over this story.
Yeah.
I mean, kids would laugh if someone's last name was Doodoo Kaka,
uh-huh.
and you'd still share that story, wouldn't you?
There's a lot of stuff that we've ran into this before. I've had Dylan when he was younger in this studio right next to me.
Yes.
For years and years, he would come in and just kind of wait it out because I had to do the radio show during the day. And I always felt odd about it. I'd go, oh, I don't want to say this. I don't want to say that. And then I just, as he got older, completely let it go. Maybe we think about it this way. I know that these kids are going to learn all these bad things in their lives. They are. They're going to learn that the world is a tough place. It's an unforgiving cesspool of terrible things and really, really offensive things and really, really sexual things. And so we might as well be the ones to tell them about all this as they're walking through Otronicon.
Okay.
I don't know if the Otronicon folks will like that.
Probably not.
Yeah, might not be bad for us to just go way into a corner.
I'm going to allow them to do their thing and have a good time, but I will wait at the exit door and I'll just hand all of them a piece of paper. Or no, forget it. I'll just hand them a cigarette each.
Mm-hmm. One smoke apiece?
One smoke. Hey, kids, want to try tobacco? Get it out of the way now because you don't want to be smoking this when you're older.
Plus, you're cooler if you start sooner. Work some of those things in. A couple of pictures.
Horrible role models.
James Dean smoking a cigarette.
Hey, kids, who here knows what ATM is? Because I just found out.
I don't know if we should tell them that necessarily. We're going to be at this place on Friday. Otronicon is what, Celia? How would you explain it? It's like a technology science?
It's a way to come see like the latest. They have all different kinds of experiences and all different kinds of things that they focus around technology-wise. There's the medical industry. There's a whole section on medical breakthroughs, and you get to play with the robot that does operations.
Like real operations.
Yes.
That seems expensive.
It looks expensive, and you have your hands in these little things, and you could pick up things, and instead of operating on a real person, you use it to play the game operation.
Okay.
But you're still doing the same basic thing that a remote surgeon would be doing.
It's amazing, expensive technology that's fun to play with, but way out of your price range. You're not going to have that at your house.
Absolutely. We are going to be broadcasting in the same room that we do the Phillips File poker tournament in.
Oh, cool. The dinosaur room?
Yeah, the dinosaur room. And that has, I believe, some of the military and aerospace stuff in it, if I remember from last time, and also some of the gaming things.
It's a big event, and there's a lot of stuff to look at, to interact with, and it's a big interactive event, really, is the focus of things. So we're going to have some fun with that. We'll take you around there and talk about all the stuff that's going on, plus just have a regular old fun Friday show where we cut it up a little bit. That's coming up on Friday. Coming up right now, Jury Duty.
Court is now in session, so put your phone down and pay attention before we call the bailiff over to whip your ass. You're now on jury duty with the News Junkie.
By the way, I got the dispatches loaded up here. We're going to get to them as soon as possible. But first, the jury duty section brought to you by the DeWitt Law Firm, section, segment, whatever you want to call it. DeWittLaw.com, DeWittLaw.com. 1-800-DeWitt-LAW is the phone number. And you can call or text that and ask, ASK, at DeWittLaw.com. If you've been in an accident, if you're going through a divorce, man, a lot of people going through that right now. This is the time of year where you need to be smart enough to protect yourself when you're going up against the insurance companies or a jilted ex-lover. Either one is bad. You need to make sure you're protected. DeWittLaw.com is where you could find out more. Michael Douglas is responding through lawyers and himself. There are some allegations that are just about to come out in the Hollywood Reporter. I don't know if they've published the story just yet. Allegedly, Michael Douglas, the Oscar winner, who's been in a ton of movies, did something 32 years ago where these all are very similar. He once masturbated, allegedly, in front of a female employee and then blackballed her from Hollywood. He said, I don't know where to begin. It's a complete lie, fabrication, no truth to it whatsoever. I guess they did. I guess they published it late last night to try to get this out there. Michael Douglas, now 73 years old, saying they approached him around Christmas asking for a comment on the accusations. And he said, I felt the need to get ahead of this. It pertains to me. I'm also getting a sense of how it reflects in our culture, what's going on today. This is absolutely and totally false. Now my kids are upset. They're scared and very uncomfortable. He said
Michael Douglas saying that.
Yes, the actor. He said, my kids are really upset. They're very uncomfortable. He said, I did use profanities in front of this former employee, but never directed any salty language at her. And all the rest of it is completely untrue.
Okay.
That's what Michael Douglas is saying.
There's that, Michael.
A woman is in some big trouble. She's been arrested for what they call an animal abuse video. And they also say extreme bestiality video. Now, folks, I'm not one to defend people in the world of bestiality.
Okay.
I don't come here to do that today.
All right. I almost know where you're going with this. I haven't seen the story, but
the animal banged her.
No, it's even more tame than that.
Was this a peanut butter video?
This is a whipped cream video.
Oh.
Same thing as the peanut butter idea with whipped cream.
Where was the whipped cream?
I think you know where the whipped cream
is. Okay, but that's still animal abuse.
But it's not extreme animal abuse.
Extreme animal abuse? It makes it sound like she grabbed the dog by the tail and like choppered it around and smashed it into a wall.
We've talked about this before. At the end of the day, the animal in question, a dog, I'm guessing.
Yes, it was a dog.
Got some whipped cream.
Yes.
Which, if it had licked off your finger, would have been a very happy dog. And if it licked off anywhere else, probably still a very happy dog. Is the dog traumatized by this? Is the dog going to, if you...
It's still animal abuse.
It's not.
It is.
It's not penetrating the dog in any way.
It's not.
The dog is not doing anything sexually to her. The dog is eating whipped cream.
Okay, so
I'm not saying it's not gross.
It's totally gross.
I'm not saying it's not gross. I'm just saying, do you think that's extreme animal abuse?
I mean, who said extreme? Was that the charge?
It says.
Or is that just the headline?
A woman filmed herself having sex with her pet Labrador. I don't know if that focuses in anymore on the story. In a vile animal abuse video involving whipped cream, they say police found the extreme bestiality video and they raided her home. Da, 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 da. Former firefighter. Da, 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 da. The animal was in the house and the police searched it. The offense involved the use of whipped cream. There was other terrible stuff on her phone, okay? Like some bad, bad stuff that I wanted to get into with children being abused and stuff. But this is one of the charges that was not connected to that. And it doesn't have the exact charge that they put on her. But, yeah, the article itself mentions extreme bestiality. I don't know. I don't know if that fits the bill. Not something you should do. Definitely something that's gross. But the least terrible thing that the dog could have gone through considering the circumstances. And finally, in jury duty today, an Arkansas man charged in his wife's killing. He said he did it because she changed the channel on the television. Tony Thomas.
Yeah, show her.
His name. He asked what the score was of the football game. Thomas told police his wife began yelling at him. An argument ensued. He got a knife from the wall. Got a random wall knife and started stabbing her. They said that he claimed he blacked out. And when he came to, he was over her with a knife in his hand. It was all about the fact that she changed the channel. And we will be back in just a moment with that latest scandal out of the Celebrity Big Brother in the UK. Details on the way. This is getting more unbelievable, and we'll tell you about it next. It's the News Junkie on Real Radio.
Your next chance to win $1,000 is just minutes away on Real Radio 104.1. From the The Game of Magnets, taking over the world one terrible person at a time. This is the News Junkie. You can bet, you can play, you can cry, you can pray, but nothing's gonna save you from the tidal wave. You can run, you can lie, you can leave, you can stay, nothing's gonna save you from the tidal wave. You can bet.
You too can join into the Game of Magnets. Just keep your eyes peeled, no matter where you are, for a magnet that says The News Junkie. And only show magnets, only magnets related to this radio show are up for grabs in the Game of Magnets. You see it on somebody else's car, swipe it, then put it back in play, and it continues on and on. People sign them sometimes so they know the history of the whole thing. There are so many of them out there, and yet I still hear people say, I've never even seen one. When you do see one, it's like, oh, man.
It's exciting.
There it is right there. And then everybody pussies out. Everybody goes, oh, nah, I don't want to go over there.
I can't.
And I'll hear from couples sometimes, and the wife will go, I told my husband to go get it, but he was scared, and I had to show him how to do it. And she said, I just got out, grabbed the magnet off the back of the car, put the News Junkie magnet on mine.
I've even played the game. You know, I saw a magnet in Thornton Park once and said, you know what? Taking it.
This is mine, right?
Christopher, you have like a... You have a supply here at the office.
It's a fun game.
You do have a stash of your own.
I like to make it rain. Like I like to throw them and see if they stick on the cars. So also keep your eyes on the ground because I often miss.
There's a lot of people that will send in videos of them going up to somebody else's magnet, getting it, ripping it, and getting the hell out of there. It's a fun thing to do. Be safe. Don't do anything stupid. And enjoy Game of Magnets. Eventually, you'll see one and you'll be involved too. You're part of the News Junkie family. The moment you grab that, you grab it and move on. But we're not having nearly as good a day as Jeff Bezos of Amazon. You see, not only is he the CEO of Amazon, which owns the world right now, he's also now officially the richest person of all time.
Really?
Ever in the history.
Really?
He is the richest person of all time. His net worth this week reached $105 billion.
Attaboy.
That is a lot of money.
That's ridiculous.
To give you an idea, if you had $1 million in ones stacked on top of each other, it would be bigger than a football field. High. That's how high it would be of the dollar bills to make up $1 million.
Mm-hmm.
If you had the amount of money that Jeff Bezos has, it would be 33 million. I'm sorry. Yeah, that's correct. 33,300,000 feet tall of dollar bills. 33 million feet tall.
Wow.
Would be how big the stack of dollar bills he has.
I want to know.
I kept going with the numbers because I was losing my mind on this just because this guy has more money than he needs. Or anybody needs, or any country needs, maybe. It would be 22,902 Empire State Buildings tall of $1 bill stacked up in the air.
That's crazy.
A lot of money.
What I want to know is how how much money would every person in the world get? How much money would every person in the United States get if we split up his money?
What's somebody do the math on this real quick. What's 104 billion divided by 330 million ish?
Okay.
104 billion. Thousand
hey,
million
Siri.
Billion
divided by 330 million.
104 billion divided by 300
million.
Million.
315.1515152.
Oh, we got two different answers now.
$13.333.
That would be $13, I think. Yeah.
Yeah, I was hoping.
That's
for
not
like,
a lot.
No.
So wait,
it's kind of a letdown. Everybody only gets $13? That doesn't make any sense.
Wait, what was it? 104 billion
yeah.
divided by 330 million?
Yes.
I'm getting $315.
All right, even that. I
Siri,
would want a lot
idiot.
More than that. You would be able to give everybody about 300 bucks, which you could do a lot better than that. But nobody on the face of the earth now, nobody on the face of the earth ever has ever had as much money as Jeff Bezos does.
Oh my God, he could just give me $1 billion and would not do anything to him.
You could take $1 billion from him and he probably wouldn't notice it was gone.
You know what? Another number I want to know, how much money he makes a minute. Because you know, with that much money, there's the investments and then your net worth just keeps going up. So you just keep making money by the minute. There has to be that stat somewhere.
Yeah. The thing about it is, it's not even about how much money he makes a year. He's got all that Amazon stock, and it just gets bigger and bigger and bigger, and then he'll cash it out sometimes. When you've got that much money, you don't need that much. You couldn't spend that much money.
I mean, on top of it, he owns Amazon, which you can get everything on. He could just go to the warehouse and pick up toilet paper.
You could get whatever he wanted from there. One of the things that I always try to consider is, all right, Jeff Bezos this week is probably partying. He's celebrating. Nobody's ever been as rich as me, $105 billion. He still has crappy days. He still has bad days. He has stuff
He still has diarrhea.
He definitely gets diarrhea. He has problems that he runs into. But you always think in your head, you go, oh, man, if I just had $1 billion, if I just had $10 million, I would be so happy. This guy still has crappy days.
Yeah, of course, but he could have a crappy day and then get on his private jet and go to one of his 15 homes, and then it won't be so crappy.
You are able to pull out of the depressing days a lot easier when you got that Jeff Bezos.
Is he married, kids? Like, is everybody set forever?
That's a good question. I don't know about his whole family situation.
I feel like his grandkids are set. His great-grandkids, even.
He's now ahead of Bill Gates, who has $91.9 billion. And they don't give anybody else on here, but, you know, lots of money between those two guys alone. That is a lot of cash is making the rounds there. Well, I hope that Jeff Bezos does the things that Bill Gates does, because that guy does a lot of good with his money.
Yeah, Bill Gates is donated most of his money, almost.
A lot of it. And he continues to do it every year. And I've heard that they're not going to leave an insane amount of money to the kids. You know, like whoever they have in the family afterwards, they're going to donate on their death a lot of this cash. I think that's an interesting thing. Though if your parents did it, you would be so mad at them.
Of course.
Your parents had a 100 billion bucks and they died and they gave it all to charity. You'd go, they were great people and I hate them for it. Mm-hmm. Because now I have to go get a full-time job and that's not going to be a really good time for me to do that. Celebrity Big Brother, we mentioned this just yesterday. We just mentioned this. This transgender participant or contestant, I guess, because of Celebrity Big Brother, who is getting more and more attention now, India Willoughby, who first went after the rapper. Not a rapper. It's R&B star, I guess. Ginuwine.
Mm-hmm.
It's not rap, right? It's like more R&B type music. Yeah. And she went after him and tried to say that he was in some way bigoted, or he was being offensive because he said he would not have sex with a transgender woman. It turned into this whole victimhood thing for absolutely nothing. And it didn't end there, because guess what the transgender contestant India Willoughby really hates, cannot stand, and will not put up with? Well, drag. Any kind of drag people who are involved in the whole thing, drag queens. And there just so happens to be a world-famous drag queen in the house.
Duh.
That they're in right now.
I wonder if the producers knew about that beforehand.
I'm thinking that they did. And so they had a night where this this drag queen that's in the Celebrity Big Brother house did up some of the other male contestants in drag. It was just supposed to be a stupid fun thing, and they're trying to make some excitement for the live cams. And the transgender participant was so upset and said, "This is so offensive that you would do this. I can't stand drag. Drag is the same thing as doing blackface."
No, it's not. Okay, let's be clear here. Yes, this is a transgender contestant, but this is the opinion of that person as a person. Like, sure. This should not represent or anybody think that this is how transgender people feel.
I think that's true with most of the stories that we talk about.
Absolutely.
Though. It's not to say that any of these people are representative. In fact, as I mentioned with the last story, all the reaction I've read from LGBT news sources that have reacted to this are
gay.com.
Like, I'm burning up. Like, I'm so pissed off about the way this is going down with the representation of this person.
I'm sorry. Drag was here a lot longer. That's like saying drag was here a lot longer than the transgender thing was a huge movement.
Drag is accepted in the LGBT community. That's simple as that. Yeah. It is part of the terms. It is a lifestyle. Just like transsexualism, just as cross-dressing, just as men who want to dress up in women's clothes. Like, that is not blackface of the LGBTQ community.
The problem is, it's a huge lack of self-awareness. You want everybody around you to accept the fact that you are a woman, despite the fact that you were biologically born a man. But you have a problem with somebody dressing up as a woman in drag, and you think that's blackface. Those two things do not work together.
I get that you might not be a fan of drag because you went the extra mile to, you know, convert to the gender that you feel you were born as, but that doesn't take away from drag. I mean, it doesn't mean that drag's all of a sudden this huge offensive thing that's been around forever.
I have a scene here. I think this might be the one.
I'll drag up for dinner.
You know how India said that she was afraid of drag queens? This will be the kind of drag queen she is afraid of. Get the other tape in your hand.
Yeah.
And start binding from the bottom, binding up the way to the top.
They're doing up the male contestant in drag.
Dude, it looks like a tie that pork joint.
Perfect. Please welcome to the stage, Betty's.
Wallace.
God, that's like the most generic drag name ever. The person who was doing the male contestant up in drag is Courtney Act, who has been on RuPaul's Drag Race, been a bunch of stuff, tours the world, and is definitely known in the UK. Now, Andy is miserable watching this.
So much respect for you girls now.
You're enough to turn me straight.
Are you having a dramatic response?
You're okay,
India. He has a drag phobia.
I hope I've not f***ed you off.
No, it's not you, it's just the whole thing. It's okay.
Are you sure?
Yeah. Hope I didn't f*** you off.
So upset.
These guys don't see me as a woman, though, Rachel.
Yes, they do.
No, they do.
Willoughby later claimed that the drag offended her in the same way that black and white minstrel shows would offend people of color. Somebody coming in dressed that way freaks me out. I know it doesn't freak anyone else out because none of you have gender dysphoria, so you can't relate, says this particular contestant. Getting a lot of attention, though. That part of it's working. Back in just a moment. It's the News Junkie on Real Radio.
Documenting and contributing to the decline in American culture. This is the News Junkie.
Finally, to those dispatches. There's so much content out in the world right now. It's kind of unbelievable. With Amazon and Netflix and YouTube and all of those three and many, many, many more jumping in to make movies of their own. And everybody's getting into the game. I watched one of those Amazon movies last night, though. I don't know if you guys have seen the Ben Stiller one that's out there.
Mm-mm. No.
It's called Brad Status. And it's supposed to be Ben Stiller. His son is 18 or 19. He's ready to go off to tour some colleges to find the right spot. Ben Stiller's friends are all successful and they do well. And he's doing all right, but he's not a millionaire like they are. And he's guessing about second guessing the decisions in his life as he goes to bring his kid around to these college campuses. And I'm watching the whole thing. I'm going, it's all right. It's okay. Oh, a little tiny laugh there. Oh, this was shot nice. Nothing's really happening. And then the movie ends. I cannot stand when that happens. I hate so much when you put all of this into a movie. You watch a movie for 2 hours, mm-hmm. and then they end it in a way that there's no resolution of anything.
So 70s of them.
It's like right in the middle of something. Like he'll go back to the hotel after going to one of the colleges and lay on the pillow and go, I started to question everything about my life as well. Credits. And you, what? Like you didn't answer anything. You didn't solve any problems that you set up in the movie.
Maybe it's just setting up for a part two, Sean.
Nobody's going to watch the part two.
I'm the way that you described it, I kind of want to watch part two.
Well, you're probably going to watch part one first, and I'm telling you, you're going to be just as upset when they hit the credits and you go, what is happening here? And sometimes I've seen a couple of movies like this lately. The setup is so good and the character building is so good. There was a dystopian end of the world one I saw not that long ago with, what's her name from Juno? Ellen Page. Mm-hmm. That Ellen Page was in. It was so good. It was awesome. And then it just ended. No resolution. They didn't talk about what happened with any of the important things. They just ended it.
I was watching a horror movie on Netflix the other day. It's called Hush. And it's
I've heard about that.
Yeah. There were parts, it was a good movie, it was suspenseful, the guy's trying to kill her the whole time, you never find out why.
I don't like that.
I know you don't like them, not all movies have to have that.
Yeah, but it left so many things, there was like such a void after the movie, like, who the hell is this guy and why did he just show up wanting to kill people all of a sudden?
Who is this guy?
What does he do?
And it's not even like they said, they left it open-ended. Because I'm okay with open-ended. They just ended it. Like, I'm okay if he goes, well, I'm going to walk down and you see a fork in the road and you go, we won't know which side of the fork the person went down. We won't know what their next move was. It's not even that. It's just, bam, credits go, and you, what happened? What just happened to me? Why
don't you email Ben?
I might do that. Ellen Page movie I'm talking about was Into the Forest, and it was so damn good. And then it got right down to that last couple of minutes, and it just went to, oh, God. You got to at least give us some resolution, some kind of ending of a movie. And Brad's status with Ben Stiller didn't do anything like that. Some of those dispatches, I promised. Here we go. Here's Sodfather with a dispatch.
The video is up on TMZ about the Weinstein slapping.
Oh, I didn't see it yet. He was slapping more than punching? I got to check that out.
The articles that I've read, it was like a light slap. Like almost to the point where it was funny.
Does he make contact with him at all?
Yeah, but it's just like a light. It's just a light slap.
Does he sound drunk or maybe you didn't hear the audio of it actually? I have to get
didn't
to that.
Hear it.
I just heard that he said, hey, this is for the women, what you did to them. And they first started out with he swung at him twice trying to hit him and miss. Now it's turning into like a slap thing, but eventually we'll land on something. Here's Bring Me a Beer.
Hey guys, good morning. Funny story about the disposable cameras at weddings. When my best friend got married, we had all the disposable cameras all over the tables and we had the chore of, you know, getting them all developed and having to go through them all, take a look at all the pictures. And you wouldn't believe how many nut shots there were in those cameras.
Yeah.
We were just started playing a game. Whose balls are these? It's funny.
What a
like
game.
Pin the tail on the donkey.
Here's Big Cow.
My aunt, she works at a nursing home. If she does not get the flu shot and she gets the flu, then she has to take personal days off and does not get paid for it.
Right.
But if she gets sick with the flu after getting a flu shot, then they will pay her for her time off.
Oh, that's nice.
So that's the good trade out on the getting the flu shot for her.
Good luck on the tractor or whatever that is, but that's nice. At least they've given him some kind of option there. Here's Dad joke.
I used to work at a dialysis clinic, and it was the same thing for us. You had to get the flu shot, but they did give you the option of wearing a mask for the entire year, or at least the entire flu season, if you didn't want the shot. But she should just get the shot. The damage and danger posed to her baby if she got the flu from one of the patients
right.
would be much more significant than any of the possibilities from getting the flu shot.
Yeah, I'm with you. I mean, there's science behind the flu shot, and all the information out there suggests it's incredibly safe. But the twist in this is that she's trying to do an all-natural pregnancy. I'm not here to tell her, hey, you got to get a flu shot when you're about to have a baby in 4 months, and this is an important developmental period in that child's life.
Just wait a couple months.
I don't think it's going to do anything. Well, they're going to say that right now is the heat of the flu season.
I don't know. Going back to the thing about the disposable cameras at weddings, I went to a wedding that had those at each table once, and I didn't realize that they were to be turned in to the wedding party.
You stole it?
I thought they were just free cameras. I took
That's
a bunch of
hilarious.
Pictures. I went home, had them all developed. I was like,
thank you.
Check out a sweet vacation.
Did they come back to you or the groom say, C-Lane, we didn't get any pictures from your table at all?
Somebody finally informed me that they're like, you know that you were supposed to. I was like, oh, damn it.
A grab bag thing. Here's Baphometa.
So I remember last week Sean was saying that he didn't find jokes to be funny. But I think I have one that will make him laugh.
I find jokes
here
funny.
Here it goes.
Only good ones.
What do you call a cheap circumcision?
I don't know what. Do you guys know this before you have the punchline?
Now, a redneck circumcision is you kick his sister in the teeth.
That's not where she's going.
In the jaw or whatever.
I don't know.
Cheap circumcision. I don't know. I hope she could say this on the air.
Yeah.
A ripoff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She didn't even get herself with that one. That's sign number one that something went wrong. There is a brand new IKEA advertisement. I don't think this has ever been done before. And this is really weird, but creative. IKEA has a new ad. And if you urinate on that advertisement and a crib shows up in the picture, it's evidence that the woman who has done this urinating is pregnant.
That's adorable.
It's an advertisement.
That is not the way you want to find out.
I can just imagine this is like a golden shower scenario and the guy laid down a bunch of magazines or something and you have the shock realization that something's happening there.
No, imagine you and your significant other are just going to IKEA to buy a lampshade and she goes, hey, I gotta run to the bathroom real quick before we leave, and then comes back and goes, maybe we should do some more shopping.
It's a printout thing, like in a magazine, but they built this new technology so that if you pee on it and you're pregnant, it makes the baby crib show up in the room. Otherwise, it's just an empty room.
Which is far less expensive than buying a pregnancy test.
I wonder if there's going to be a lot of that going on.
Like I would.
Younger people, you're like, I don't want to go buy a pregnancy test.
No one's going to find that ad in Orlando because I have a whole stack of them at home.
Now, take them all and pile them up and save them.
If a guy pees on it and it shows a crib, isn't there other implications?
Yeah. I think it's a sign of testicular cancer.
There's testicular cancer, but there's another pee thing that we found out about. Patrice O'Neal?
Hmm?
Wait, he took a pregnancy test?
He didn't take a pregnancy test.
He peed.
His.
Just go out.
It had a taste to it, and that's how he figured out that he had, like, diabetes or something like that.
There's a special taste to your urine when you have diabetes?
We had it today. I learned about it.
I'm not surprised by that. I would
all
imagine.
Right. 2018.
Be the case. Your urine is useful. That's what we're saying here today. I'm telling you that your urine is useful. And if you want to find out if you're pregnant, to get this IKEA ad, which is incredibly creative, and pee all over it. If you see the crib, you're pregnant, and congratulations.
Okay. Today I learned.
Or I'm sorry.
The late comedian Patrice O'Neal, who admitted he had a sexual kink of urolognia, which I don't think I have to describe, was told by his girlfriend that his tasted like birthday cake, prompting him to get tested and eventually diagnosed with type 2 diabetes.
Probably very excited before that diagnosis, though. Like my urine is like birthday cake? This is fantastic! And then no, it's something horrible and terrible altogether, actually. I have bad news, folks. There is a science survey that is in now. And humble bragging makes people dislike you, according to a study from the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. It's a very common phenomenon where people will humble brag, and an example of this will be like, oh, I hate that I look so young. And you say, even a 19-year-old hit on me. That's one of the examples they give. It's bragging and acting like it's a tough thing to deal with.
Right.
To have that. Like, oh, God, you don't know what it's like. A struggle to have so much money, you can never figure out exactly what to spend it on. Everybody around you, not a fan of that.
Like, it's so impressive that I infrequently mention how successful I am.
Out of 646 people surveyed, 70% could recall somebody that they had heard let out a humble brag recently. You remember last time? I can't remember one that I've heard recently. I just wouldn't lock in that information, I guess.
A humble brag?
Yeah, they said 70% could recall a humble brag that they'd heard recently. Like, you sit down in a study and they go, what's the latest humble brag you've recorded or you heard? I would never know.
Is that the same thing as like having an ego?
No, just somebody who says, like, here's another example. Why do I always get asked to work on the most important assignment? I just don't know that I would remember the last one that I had heard when it comes to that. They say, don't do it when it comes to announcing. Go with the brag and at least own your own self-promotion. But when you try to do it in a humble brag form, people are going to get super pissed off at you. And this isn't just me telling you. It's the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. And I feel like there's probably some smart scientist people there who know exactly what they're talking about. This was even published in the Journal of Personality and Social Psychology.
Ooh, sounds like a fun time.
I don't read that one, but it sounds prestigious. So I guess it's a pretty important outlet. When we come back, of course, we'll do the final dispatches, the stories that didn't make the cut, and we'll do Today I Learned to Wrap everything up for a lovely Wednesday. Stay put. Back in just a moment. It's the News Junkie on Real Radio.
At Real Radio 104.1 on Twitter. Brought to you by Seacoast Bank. See why local is better by visiting seacoastbank.com. Better by all accounts since 1926. Member FDIC. He's smiling, and that alone should scare you. This is the News Junkie. What can we do to get on the
news? Final dispatches. Stories that didn't make the cut, and today I learned to wrap everything up for a Wednesday. And Pamela Anderson has released a PSA for taxicabs and against share ride services or ride share services or Uber or Lyft or whatever you'd like to call them. And the thing that she said was her reasoning for doing it seemed really, really innocuous. I have the spot. Let me see. There's not much to it. It's basically just really supposed to scare you away from using an Uber and make you think, well, if I go in a cab, I'll be okay. Zit here.
When you accept a ride from a ride-hailing app, you also accept the risks that come with it. Many ride-hail companies consider their drivers third-party providers, so they don't have to accept any responsibility or accountability for their actions. Always ride responsibly.
And it's all an advertisement for taking a cab, taking a taxi. And she says, she describes in it an uncomfortable Uber ride. This is her reasoning for taking a taxi. There was an uncomfortable Uber ride where the driver kept staring over his shoulder at me. And that's why she's against Uber.
Yes, there's never been a bad taxi driver in the history of taxis.
Well, just to begin with, her argument against Uber here, that a driver kept staring at her over his shoulder, that
probably
might be
Pamela Anderson.
That could be because you're world famous. You're Pamela Anderson. He's like, oh my God, Pamela Anderson's in my car right now. She didn't say he did anything. It's just looking. If you're a celebrity in the back of the car, people are going to look at you a little bit. That's going to happen.
Even if you're not a celebrity, if you have, never mind.
What?
She has giant breasts.
I thought she got a, didn't she get a breast reduction at some point in time? Or was that somebody else that was reading that on?
That was a girl from Modern Family. I don't know.
No, Ariel Winter did that. Yeah, but I thought it was her for saying. I don't think it was now that I'm thinking about it. Let's get to the final dispatches, though, because we're running way behind. And here's Sweaty Armpit Guy, and he has a dispatch for us.
What's up, junkies?
Hey.
Sean, I just want you to know I'm doing my part trying to keep Orlando clean of all that trash advertising.
Thank you.
I always see this magnet on the back of people's cars that says the news junkie. I grab it and throw it in the trash just as quick as I can.
Really cracked himself up there.
Yeah.
Wait for it. Wait for it.
Sing. Here's Boston's Finest with a very first dispatch.
Hey, what's up, junkies?
Hey.
First time dispatch here. Just want to give you guys a shout out. Love the show. You guys are the best at what you do. Don't ever change. Wiggle, wiggle, pop, pop.
Oh, thank you. That was nice. I almost want to end it right there. I'll risk it.
Have a great summer.
I'll risk it. Here it is. Here's James.
Stanley's awesome. The nurses are only complaining probably because they're not getting any extra money. He's a great all-time legend.
I should have stayed with Boston's Finest. Let's just pretend that didn't happen.
Hey, what's up, junkies? First time dispatch here. Just want to give you guys a shout out.
Thank you.
Love the show. You guys are the best at what you do. Don't ever change. Wiggle, wiggle, pop, pop.
Oh, there. Right. We'll just pretend the other one didn't happen. Thank you so much. Let's do the stories that didn't make the cut. A new issue facing Miami right now. A Russian baby boom. There are people who are traveling from Russia to Miami, women who are doing this while they're pregnant, specifically to have a baby in the United States. Then that baby is a United States citizen. Then they can, when the baby turns a particular age, get the rest of their family over to the U.S. too.
Anchor baby.
And a lot of these Russian women say they got on a plane to do this. Here we go. When I was taking the plane to come here, one of them said, it was not only me, there were four or five women who were flying here. And they talk about how this is a growing phenomenon.
You here to deliver a baby in Miami where the heat is on? Good.
That's weird. I wonder, are we the only country where if you have a baby here, you get the baby gets citizenship? Like if I have a baby, if I go to Mexico and my child is born there, is the child automatically Mexican? I feel like we're the only country that does that.
We're not. I mean, I know a friend of mine had his baby in Turkey because he's from Turkey so that she could have dual citizenship.
And it's a Turkish baby now?
The Turkish is dual citizenship.
Well, we have, there might be other reasons for that too. We have a 14th Amendment that allows that to happen in this country. Britain's Got Talent contestant, or no, I guess it's a judge. I don't know Alicia Dixon, so it's not a big difference to me. She wants to make meat illegal. If she ever was president, she says, I'd make smoking illegal and I'd ban the slaughter of animals for food or anything. I'd close down every factory responsible for either and make it illegal to smoke or eat meat. And that's smoke as in cigarettes or eat meat. Everybody would be fine. Trust me, she says. Not sure that's a good campaign slogan for ya. Louis C.K. animated comedy is scrapped at TBS and the whole fallout of accusations against him. And I don't know if you guys saw this video, but a Disney monorail, the doors were stuck open.
I saw that this morning.
Hell no. Somebody posted that online. It's gone viral. It's making news around the world. You could have fallen right through that damn thing. Let's do Today I Learned.
The following information may make you feel smarter, but will not actually increase your IQ. So don't get cocky. Now it's time for what we call Today I Learned.
It is Today I Learned for a Wednesday. It's January 10th, 2018. Seven stories from around the web and around the world. Credit goes to Reddit.com and the Today I Learned section. The score on the year, 7-11. Sabrina with 11, C-Lane with 7. And we get right back into it. Today I Learned, the guy from, you know what, the lead singer of this band. I'll take either the band or the singer's name.
Black Sabbath.
Black Sabbath works for me. Ozzy Osbourne from Black Sabbath once fell asleep during a driving test. He woke up to a note on his lap saying, "You have failed."
Oh.
He finally passed in 2009 at the age of 60. How many times did Ozzy Osbourne take the driving test? 19 times.
Jeez. Good for you, Ozzy.
You know, if it takes you 19 times to pass, I don't know that you should be driving to begin with. You're just not going to be a good driver ever if you can't get 2, 3, maybe 4 times you can't pass that thing.
I think the thought of Ozzy Osbourne driving a car is terrifying.
It's also mildly hilarious, depending on what kind of car it
would
be.
I have to agree with that.
Today I learned of the NFL players given the Wonderlic test. I had not heard of this, but there's a test that's given to you.
That's what I call my Saturday nights.
Before you enter the NFL draft to measure intelligence. And they have the scores on the Wonderlic website of what all the NFL players got. And if you get about a 50, wow, that's really impressive. If you get under a 10 on the Wonderlic test, that means you're illiterate. Here are some of the scores on the bottom of the list. Vince Young got a 6 on the test, 6 out of 50. Oscar Davenport got a 6. Frank Gore got a 6.
Oh,
Edward Prather got a 5. Maurice Claiborne got a 4. And the lowest score ever recorded on the Wonderlic test, this intelligence test they take before the NFL, Darren Davis, the running back, got a 4.
Darren.
4 is not very good.
Teach them how to read.
Today I learned the company behind this. Well, that's the weird thing. They're all in college. They were in college before they did that. They didn't get anything, I guess. The company behind this.
Tetris.
Tetris is correct. I think he just edged you out there. Tetris, the
not
company,
so much.
Emerged from a Soviet agency.
We'll go to the tape.
Today, it licenses its trademark and doesn't make the game at all. It just offices a couple of attorneys that sue everybody who makes an unlicensed clone. And just about every year, somebody does, and they end up getting a whole bunch of money out of it. Today, I learned NBC once had an experiment. They had an entire NFL game with no commentators.
Hmm.
They just played the game.
Was it an experiment, or was there for some reason that there weren't commentators there? Or
they died.
I thought there was some sort of thing.
Well, they say to replace the announcers, the network used more graphics than usual and asked the public address announcer at Miami's Orange Bowl to impart more information than he typically did. Efforts to use more sensitive microphones to pick up more sound on the field did not succeed. The experiment did bring up the ratings, but they widely regarded it as a failure because viewers didn't have enough context, I guess. Today I learned this song right here.
A video killed the radio star.
That is right, sir. Video killed the radio star. Also, the very first video ever played on MTV.
Correct.
I believe. Also, the best-selling record in Australia for 27 years. That's a long run. In Australia, Video Killed the Radio Star reached number one, where it was the best-selling record in the country for 27 long years.
Did well
in France, Spain, Austria, Ireland, Sweden, Switzerland, Europe, Oceania, Germany, New Zealand, and many other countries. Today I learned only 40% of people have ever had a nosebleed. I thought everybody had a nosebleed. I thought everybody had the flu and everybody had a nosebleed.
Never had a nosebleed.
I don't think
you haven't
had
one? Oh my God, I've had like 100 nosebleeds.
Unless I've like scratched something, but.
And finally, today I learned this song right here.
Black and Yellow.
Black and Yellow
Wiz Khalifa.
Is correct. It's also by Wiz Khalifa. 1 point, but 2 correct answers there. In the 2011 Super Bowl, both teams came out to this song. The Pittsburgh Steelers, well, they arrived to Wiz Khalifa's Black and Yellow. The Green Bay Packers, the Lil Wayne remix, Green and Yellow, matching up with their teams. We'll just end on it. It's fine, right? Thank you so much for listening. We do appreciate it. Back tomorrow after the Monsters in the Morning. Stay put. The Phillips Files coming up next, followed by A Corporate Time with Tom and Dan. And it's all right here on Real Radio.
No keys. Push to start. Yeah. Uh-huh. You know what it is. Everything I do, yeah, I do it big. Yeah, screaming that it's not. When I pulled off the lot, that's done. Here up in my town, when you see me, you know everything. Black and yellow, black and yellow, black and yellow, black and yellow. I put it down from the whip to my diamonds. I'm in black and yellow, black and yellow.